Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or services, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/timcast. netsuite.com/timcast. That is, again, netsuite.com/timcast. On an Australian government website, they have announced their plans to construct what they refer to as an alternative quarantine hub with relocatable cabins for those who must be removed from civil society due to the risk of COVID. Relocatable cabin sounds an awful lot like a fancy word for camp. That's apparently what they're building, and I've already seen the apologizing happening on Twitter. These people are Nazis, make no mistake, when they're like, oh, calm down, they're building an internment facility. It's no big deal. Just get on the train and head out to the camp. Yeah, sorry. They'll always try to come in with something seemingly reasonable. And you have to say there's a line where we don't accept that you will move us in increments until we are pushed off the cliff. If they want to build an internment hub for people who are a risk to people's health or whatever, it's like, dude, you're too dangerously close. Sorry. We have ways to deal with this. It's called people can stay at home or something like that. But that's what's happening. Now, in New York, they have officially started today the vaccine mandates. And it is worse than I thought. You know, I was on Twitter and I was talking about Google and Facebook requiring vaccines for their employees. And I said, a lot of people are probably going to quit over this. Cameron Caskey of Parkland Notability responded with, and there's about to be a whole lot of, you know, positions opening for people who aren't stupid. And then I mentioned that some people have medical issues barring them from getting the vaccine, or more importantly, some people have not necessarily an underlying medical condition, but a medical circumstance where their doctor will say, it's up to you, and they'll have to make a hard choice. This will pressure them in certain ways, and maybe they won't want to do it. And then, of course, the response from all of these young people and establishment crony types and activists said, of course there will be medical exemptions. Wrong. New York, I called them. I called the city, and I asked. They said, no medical exemptions. I called two civil rights lawyers, and they said, we will not advise on this. Sorry, have a nice day, and hung up. It was nuts. It was abrupt. I call lawyers all the time. They're usually more like, oh, yeah, you know, in the law, it works this way and that way, and here's what you can do. I called on this stuff, and they're like, I can't help you. Have a nice day. Bye. One firm was like, I am getting hundreds of calls about this. We are not going to be advising on it. Have a nice day. One guy was like, we are a civil rights, and we do medical discrimination. We're not going to help you. Bye. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So then I went and I called about, you know, I think 25 or so restaurants in New York. One of them said, nah, you were not testing. We're not checking. Have a nice day. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. One of them said that, yes, you are required to show proof. If you have a medical exemption, you'll be fine. All the rest said, no excuses. And I said, you know, what if somebody, my friend's doctor says they can't get the vaccine? And they said, yeah, I'm sorry. That's too bad. We can't allow them in. But you can eat outside. You want to eat outside? And I said, I'm not going to tell my friend who's got a medical condition they have to eat outside. That's just wrong. And you know what they said to me? We're so sorry. It's just we're following the orders of the mayor. We have to do it. It's not worth it to risk it. Welcome to your brave new 1984 world. So we're going to talk about all this stuff. We're going to get into greater detail on this. Plus, we can talk a bit about Afghanistan, Balkanization, maybe even civil war, because we are being joined by Kurt Schlichter.
I like how you say, we want to talk about civil war. Kurt Schlichter's here, everybody.
That's right.
Giant national catastrophe of epic proportions. We'll welcome Kurt Schlichter, because who better to talk about total disaster?
You're writing a book?
I wrote a book. I got the split out, the six of the Kelly Turnbull ones. I I am working on a proposal to talk about a nonfiction, to talk about what's going to happen. And I'm already at work on the seventh Kelly Turnbull novel about America falling apart. Doesn't mean I advocate it. Contrary to what the Bulwark says.
Right.
These are not in favor. These are against. These are cautionary examples. These are warnings. These are big red flags saying, stop, quit, don't do these dumb things. And then they start saying, hey, we're going to make sure that about 50% of people in New York can't live their lives because they've disobeyed us.
It's worse than that. I mean, that I think we can start with that. People have a right to choose. They have a right to go to their doctor.
Yes.
There are people who don't have an illness per se, but may have some circumstance in which their doctor is like, well, you know, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, and then they'll have to make that choice. The government's going to pressure them. And an example, I guess, would be like pregnant women. You know, the CDC has come out and said they can get it, but some doctors, people that I know, have still been advised by their doctors to say, well, why don't you hold off? If your doctor advises it but doesn't prohibit it, you're creating this murky circumstance. But more than that, I mean, you've got the racial disparities, and you've got the fact that there are people who cannot get it and would like to. So they are outright just making second-class citizens of people. But we'll get into all that. I don't want to do the show before we do the intros. So also, Ian is in here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to weaving the split into this. So this is your newest book on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm going to pimp it like Huggy Bear putting his bitches out on the street and saying, bring me my money.
Mm-hmm. Bring it.
But
and this is about, like, what, the U.S. fracturing?
The U.S. is fractured, and antics ensue. What would it look like? And
how's West Virginia do?
West Virginia does fine.
Excellent.
I haven't sent any of the characters through there yet, but that's actually not a bad idea.
That's a great idea.
Because these are some people who don't take a lot of guff, and I'm trying to de-profanitize.
No, there you
go.
So
they won't be taking guff.
Guff.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, if there was a split, what would happen? Like, Big Hills would become the most popular areas because that's where you'd set up the machine gun mounts.
There will be warlords and wastelands. So the seventh one, which is coagulating inside my brain right now, we're going to have some. I'm not saying we're going to have the Humongous from Road Warrior, but there may be a Humongous.
Cool.
Right on. We got Lydia pressing buttons.
I am pressing buttons in the corner. Kurt is the perfect person for tonight because he talks about Civil War, and he is a lawyer, and he knows what's up. I'm excited.
I'm woke. I know what time it is. Word.
That's right.
Before we get started, my friends, go to TimCast.com and become a member, and you'll get an advertisement-free experience on all of our news articles, as well as members-only segments from this show. Of course, we will have that. Usually goes up around 11 p.m. every night. And you'll also be supporting our fierce and independent journalists in the work we're doing. So, again, TimCast.com, but don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Word of mouth on podcasts is always the best way to help us grow. Excuse me. And if you think the stuff we're talking about is really important, just share the video. Take that URL, share it wherever you can, because, my friends, it's getting dark really, really fast. Australia building alternative quarantine hubs with relocatable cabins. Beautiful language. But I want to start here in the United States. I want to start here in New York because it's hitting us close to home. ABC News reports for businesses, NYC indoor vaccine mandate means safety and headaches. The mandate improves safety, but poses operational and economic challenges. No, it doesn't. So I made a series of phone calls. The first phone call I made today, because for those that aren't familiar, the mayor signed an executive order yesterday issuing the vaccine mandate with no medical exemptions. None. If you have cancer, if you have MS, if you're immunocompromised and your doctor says, I can't advise this, you can't get it, you are excluded from society in New York. So I called the city. I said, that can't be right. I read the law. No exemptions. But if you're a famous musician or performer, you are allowed to go into these venues to perform and do your normal business. If you work for one of these people, you are welcome to come inside these businesses and do whatever you want. You can hang out, have a drink. All you got to do is play one little song. So I called the city and said, certainly this must be a mistake. I called the local 311 line, which is non-emergency city communications. I did this on purpose. There's no number to call the mayor's office, but of course you might get a political answer. I want to know the advice they're giving to small businesses. I want to know the advice they're giving to residents of the city who call, because they specifically say if you have questions about the vaccine mandate, call this number, press 1 or press 2. A woman answered. I said, I was just curious about if the vaccine mandates for restaurants have a medical exemption for someone whose doctor won't allow them to get the vaccine. No. So, ma'am, you're saying that you know, if somebody is told by their doctor they can't get it, they can't go to any of these restaurants or gyms or clubs. Nope. And I was like, really? No medical exceptions. And she says, there's some, but not for that. I can, let me put you on hold and see if I can, you know, ask someone to clarify. And they put me on hold. Then she comes back and says, yep, sorry. If your doctor doesn't allow you to get the vaccine, you can't go. Either you have the pass or you don't. So then I called two law firms dealing with human rights law, and boy, were they quick to say, no, we will not advise, bye, and hung up. One of them, the first one I called, they said, we do deal with medical discrimination. We are not going to advise on this. We are getting hundreds of calls for people. We will not be dealing with it. Have a nice day. Thank you. And I was like, all right, thanks. Appreciate it. Bye. The next one I called, I said, I was curious. I have some questions about medical exemptions for the vaccine mandate and if that's written in the law. I'm sorry, we're not going to be advising on any of that as per discrimination. Have a nice day. Bye. Click. Wow. So I started calling restaurants. I called like 25 or so, and I would say all but one said, yes, we are checking, or we are going to begin, and no, people who have medical issues are not allowed to enter the building. And then the scariest thing was the people who all said, look, we're just following the orders of the mayor. The mayor has deemed this to be what we have to do, and so we have to do it. And, you know, it's interesting because one restaurant, I just got fed up. And I said, I have been calling restaurant after restaurant trying to figure out where my friend can come eat. And they'll say the same thing. Isn't this a violation of human rights law in New York City? And then someone else, a guy, picks up the phone and goes, bye, and hangs up on me. That's New York City. That's happening now in this country. Granted, it's very different in Texas and Florida, what's going on. But in New York, wow. So I have some questions for those who would still service the city. For those musicians and entertainers who would still be going into New York to perform, knowing that they are exempt, but they're going to require all of the people who come to see you follow this mandate. Now, first and foremost, I got no issue with vaccines at all. I think you go to your doctor, you figure out what makes sense for you. My problem is they're turning people into second-class citizens who have done nothing wrong. My problem is people should have a right to choose what makes sense for their health, not a despotic mayor who won't even carve out medical exemptions. This has gone way too far, in my opinion. And I think it plays into, the chaos and the crisis in this country, which is leading to collapse, because you're going to have, you already do, Texas and Florida outright being like, we're not doing this. South Dakota, we're not doing this. But then you look at the Pacific Northwest, you look at New York, you look at San Francisco, they're also doing vaccine mandates. What next?
This is bad. But it also shows the magic of federalism. Because you're right. In Texas, you're free. In Florida, you're free. In at least some places in California, you're free. If not officially, then simply because people just aren't playing along. Look, I think that leftists should get leftism really, really hard. And this is it. Look, if you're in New York and you vote for a Bill de Blasio, this is what you're voting for. So freaking enjoy it. Enjoy it. Party on, Wayne. You did this. Just like if you voted for Joe Biden, you did what's going on in Kabul. Chose it. You made a conscious decision. I don't want mean tweets. I can't stand those mean tweets. No, I'm going to vote for whatever pseudo-Marxist twit appears on my ballot. You did it. Enjoy.
This is the issue. I mean, the economy, I love bringing this up because it's one of the clearest examples, is how would you rate the economy right now?
It's disastrous.
But the polling shows that Democrat voters think it's good because these people don't know, don't care, don't pay attention.
And maybe they're
lying.
That's
why they vote for de Blasio. That's why they vote for Joe Biden. That's why they're still voting in another Democrat in New York City.
I think you're assuming that this is a reasoned thought process. That is, if I vote for a Democrat, good things are going to happen.
No, rather than
I'm showing a cultural solidarity.
That is my point.
Okay.
How could you possibly think the economy is good right now?
Yeah, you know, you've got a lot, but you can't very well say the economy's terrible, but I'm going to vote against the guy who could bring us a better economy because I don't like his tweets.
Cult.
Exactly.
You know what else I noticed when I was looking? I was looking on
an anti-cult. Almost.
No, it's literally a cult. I mean, these people are, they're authoritarians. They follow dogma. They don't care about, you can have one day they say do X, the next day they say do Y, and they say yes. And it's like, you look at their Twitter histories and like, how is this possible? Every other day they're contradicting themselves.
But then, but for that to matter, they'd have to believe in something other than what they want right now. It matters. It drives us crazy because we at some level, and this is a weapon they use against us, still embrace rational thought. We apply facts and evidence and then try and come to a conclusion. I mean, we just naturally do that. But they freed themselves of that, Tim. They are not bound by evidence or facts or your puny laws. They are purely cult. About power.
It's about making sure that everyone adheres to the authority.
Yes.
It's pure. What we are seeing right now with...
That's the priority.
Big business, government. It's fascism.
It is
Mussolini's fascism.
It is all about power. It is all about... You will obey me, but it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't matter. Not the sense part. That's a side issue. It's about power. It's about making sure that what we say goes and that you knuckle-dragging Jesus gun people will bend to our will.
Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or call them at 877-646-5347. Again, that's 877-646-5347. I noticed something else when I was, I pulled up Google Maps and I was looking at the different areas of New York, and I looked in each borough. I was thinking, you know, let's see how they're, it's all basically the same, no matter where they are, no matter whether the person had an accent or, you know, North American dialect or whatever, they all basically said the same thing. But I noticed something else. A bunch of the restaurants that I used to go to are closed. A bunch of the restaurants that I used to go to no longer open before dinner. And that to me was something really crazy. I was like, wait a minute, I used to go there for lunch. They're not open for lunch. They're not open until 5 p.m. now?
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
The businesses have been crushed. And you know what was really funny? Many of the phone calls I made, the people I spoke to were so desperate. You can still sit outside. It's okay. And I said, I'm not going to make my friends up. No, it's fine. Wait. The outdoor seating is beautiful. It's comfortable. I was like, I'm not sitting outside. No. Listen, please. I was like, thank you and have a nice day. And probably about five of the phone calls I made, they were that desperate. Their businesses are probably in shambles. But you know what? I've said it over and over again. Get away from these cities. Stop supporting these people.
Yep.
And how many people just don't care? And that's why I'll say it again. To the people who are going to, look, that we have friends of the show who are still in New York, many dozens, and they're still servicing the city, they're still paying taxes, and they sit there and they go, well, this sucks. And I'm like, why are you still there? At this point, you are actively legitimizing the fascism in this city by being a part of it, by funding it, and by putting your talent into their broken system. Will these people stand in principle? How many people do we know that have been on the show have said something like, we don't agree with the vaccine mandates and we won't stand for it, but I will absolutely run my business in New York City and stay there and allow them to keep doing this, legitimizing it.
I mean, you could say the same thing about being an American citizen, that we just by being American, we're legitimizing the fascist, militant, you know, industrial complex. But part of being in the United States and following this law, this rule of law, is that we can change the government by as we're there. So being in New York, you can change New York's government.
No, let's talk about the people who don't live there but go there for shows to make money.
It's like not performers?
Just yes. People.
Oh, yeah. Marilyn Monroe would refuse to perform at racist places in like the 60s unless they would let the black performers come in the front door.
Sounds quite reasonable.
Right. So we need more performers like that right now.
Yeah. I mean, I believe Eric Clapton's doing that in England. He just won't play if you're going to force people to vaccinate.
Right.
And again, I love whenever I point out the vaccine issue, I am against mandating vaccines. You anti-vaxxer. Well, I'm not very good at it because I had the stupid thing. I wish I could unhave it just to tell these people to go to hell.
But you went to a doctor.
I consulted with my doctor. I looked at all the facts in my situation, my life, the people around me, and I made my own decision.
As it should be.
As I should be. And I don't care if you have a vaccine. I don't care if you don't, do or don't. You know better than I do. And that is the essence of leftism. I know better than you do. Obey.
But here's the important point. Outside of all that, the requirement is actually an ID requirement. You are now required to have a physical ID to enter any indoor establishment except for residencies and schools pre-K through 12.
How about a polling place?
You know, I don't think we're there yet to where they can say it, but I'll tell you this. Some polling places are in residential buildings. So, yeah, they may have to issue guidance on that.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if they're going to do them in schools. I remember when I was in New York during, I think it was a mayoral election years and years ago, one of the polling places was like a residency. It was a big apartment building, and then in the lobby they had it or something like that. I don't know. I think that's what it was. But residencies are exempted.
Oh, well, I
need your ID for that.
Well, you know, I was informed by all the smart people who are my moral betters that it was the most racist thing in the history of racism to demand an ID before someone voted. Because, of course, voting is the most important thing there is, except when it comes to securing it. So I got to say, I'm confused.
My friends, please, if there is any clip from this show that you've ever taken or made, take this one. And when we put it up on YouTube, share it with everybody, okay? It was not even that long ago. We were told consistently. I mean, the election was yeah. What, you know, not even a year ago. Voter ID is racist.
Yes.
Now we know for a fact the black community is the least vaccinated demographic in New York, and they are saying yes to mandating IDs for these people. This, let me explain to you, to everybody, why I'm saying this is the clip you want to share. Please explain to me how voter ID is racist, but mandating an ID to enter an establishment is not racist, all in the span of only a few months. They changed their argument. What are they going to say? Well, voting's more important, eating isn't? Sorry, you don't get to go to a supermarket. Eating's not important.
But there won't be an argument. There'll just be a command. And as you found out with your phone calls, people, many, many people will just simply obey.
All of them.
And, if half the people just said, yeah, de Blasio can't arrest all of us. You come in, I'm gonna feed you, I don't care. You do what you think is right, and then you come on in.
Well, some people did point out fairly that by making the phone calls, they're almost always going to say yes, because you could be from the city.
Well, that is true. Now, fair, but...
However, I disagree with that argument in the sense that anybody walking in could be from the city.
That is also true.
And
there will be.
And I would argue that the phone call's actually better because they could always argue, oh, no, we always mandated, you know, we could say whatever we want over the phone, but that's not actually part of the violation. It's whether you come in or not.
Yeah.
And so I would actually argue that on the phone, you're more likely to get the truth. If somebody walks in, they're going to be like, I don't know who you are. I don't care. You could be from the city. If someone calls, they're like, I don't know. Who cares? What are you going to do? I'm not going to get a fine for telling you yes or no.
You know, but they just take it. And they're going to go vote for another Democrat.
Yeah. You know,
Own hell.
These are people who just said we're just following orders. It's we're just following the mayor's orders. We're just following orders.
If someone goes in and they're not vaccinated and they like go into a restaurant, they get found out that they were like,
you can't even go in.
What? Well, if they make it in with like a fake passport or something,
they said it's fraud.
So they'll go to jail where they could infect other prisoners with COVID.
No. They've released all those prisoners.
Oh yeah.
Now, if you hit an Asian elderly woman on the head with a hammer, you will be released on your own recognizance.
That happened.
Mm-hmm. That happens a lot.
That's a problem.
But if you go into a restaurant and pretend to be vaccinated when you aren't, even though you don't have COVID and you're not spreading disease, you will be prosecuted, right. as I understand it, because that's justice of some sort in some way. And I have to say I'm a little confused. I'm not confused. It's all a lie. It's all a scam. It's all a garbage establishment that has failed in everything it's done for the last 30 years. every single thing. I mean, you look at it, and I've said it before, said again, I'll say it again. You look at the establishment and the people who ran the institutions in the 40s, they won World War II, they beat the Depression. 60s, they put a man on the moon, they did civil rights, they changed our country in an important way. Those are huge achievements. In the 80s, we brought the economy roaring back, we destroyed the evil empire, and then look at this establishment. Look at the people we have now. They've given us Wall Street, they've given us Kabul, they've given us Grindr.
They're so rich, too.
And they're, oh my God.
They make so much money relative to these people that are suffering.
Yes.
Like, and
these people keep voting for them.
I'm not a crazy Marxist where it's like, the rich, the class war. Like, there is a class, there's a problem.
It's all about class. Why do you think Bush and Obama and Clinton are all palling around with each other? You know, you see the footage when they're together and they're all hugging and kissing. I thought they hated each other. I was informed that they're some are against us and some are for us, but no, they're all for each other. I hate this Marxist analysis crap where class is important. But dude, class is important and they stick together. That's why you see Republicans voting for this idiotic alleged infrastructure thing. Mm. That's why you see the Uniparty in Washington working together, because they all sit together at the same clubs.
And there was even some mainstream media outlets saying that Joe Biden should have stayed in Afghanistan, that he should not have withdrawn, that he made a terrible mistake because he should have taken the other options of remaining. They want the war. They want military intervention. Mm-hmm. They want conflict. It's Republicans and Democrats. They were the architects of the whole thing for the past 20 years. And what happened is in 2016, two insurgent candidates emerged, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump.
Yep.
Bernie is too weak to get the door open. Donald Trump was a bull charging through the door, and he got into the Republican Party, but he is not a Republican, and boy, were they pissed.
Oh, they were furious. They were furious. They can't afford to allow their weaknesses to be exposed, and he exposed them. And he was one of them. Look, Trump wanted to be an elite guy. He liked to party with those guys. He would give interviews to Maggie Haberman, right? He still gives interviews to Bob Woodward. Look, I write for Town Hall. We've been very nice to Donald Trump and very, you know, we point out a lot of good things he's done. He doesn't sit down with us.
I'm wondering when we're going to see Trump and Biden shaking hands and high-fiving.
I don't think he's quite there because he's the designated Emmanuel Goldstein.
I don't think that'll happen.
He's a class enemy.
Yeah, I think
Trump.
Trump. But though he is part of that class, he's prodigal. Bush, who, remember, Chimpy McHitler, Halliburton, horrible, worst guy in the world, went out, you know, he's giggling with, what's her name?
Ellen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He paints Sharon pictures.
Sharon Candies.
Now.
Yeah.
Sharon Candies.
I'm going to paint another picture of one of the veterans I named.
the strategy in Afghanistan has got to be get out. That doesn't justify tactics that lead to this abortion that we've been watching over the last 2 days.
I gotta ask.
It didn't have to be this
way. So you're retired colonel.
Retired colonel. I did not serve in Afghanistan. I'm just a war college graduate, the party war college, the army war college. But so I'm looking at it out as an outside observer. So I'm not going to come. Well, you know, when I was sitting in Shuras with Pashtun warrior, that wasn't me.
Okay, but from a
I'm
distance.
Just looking basic
principles. But we'll get in a second.
Yeah.
I want to focus on the people who voted for this, who believed that, you know, or I'll put it this way. Joe Biden saying, I inherited this deal from Trump. Wasn't Joe Biden running for president when Trump was making the deal and he knew what he was voting to be in charge of? Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Attention. If you owe the IRS, this is an important announcement. COVID relief is over and the IRS is ramping up like never before, sending out millions of collection letters to start 2024. Do you owe $10,000 or more or have unfiled returns? Now is the time to act. The IRS can garnish your wages, seize your property, and they can even take your home or your business. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. It's time to call Tax Network USA. Their team of experienced tax lawyers has already saved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. They know how to negotiate with the IRS and can help you too. Visit TNUSA.com or call 1-800-245-6000. Again, that's 1-800-245-6000. Don't wait until it's too late. Take control of your tax situation today with Tax Network USA. 1-800-245-6000. Call now.
They both share the strategy, which was get out of Afghanistan. A strategy I share. This simple, I did a thread on Twitter about this. There's three ways you end a war. You win it, you lose it, or you negotiate it out. We aren't going to win it. We've decided that as a people. Because to win it requires you essentially have to do what the British did to the Boers in the Boer War, which is take everyone from the countryside, stick them in Australian fun camps. Right?
Alternative quarantine.
Alternative quarantine things where you keep them, where then everybody outside who's not in a camp, you kill. Okay, so you mix the Boer War with the classic Roman technique. You put everybody in a camp and then kill everybody else. We're not willing to do that.
Good.
Okay, great. I don't have a problem with a punitive expedition. That was another thing the Romans would do. The Germans would come across the Rhine, pillage in Gaul for a while, go back, and then a couple legions would go out, pillage in Germany for a while, and then the Germans would be cool for 20 years. Punitive expedition. You let them launch from 9/11 from your country, we're going to go in and we're going to lay some waste to it. We're going to kill those guys. We're going to give you a pain in the ass. Then we're going to leave. And that's fine. Instead, somewhere along the way, they decide, you know what? Let's turn these mountain tribesmen into a bunch of Vermonters. And they'll have their little city councils, and they'll have nice, clean elections, and they'll have little commons in the middle of their villages, and everything will be groovy. They didn't want that.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to do that.
And that's why probably the Taliban's numbers began to swell substantially the past decade from an estimates of like 20,000 to 200,000.
Well, I mean, we were the outsiders and we were changing their culture. We went over there and said, you know what's important? Validating the trans experience.
There is this viral.
They're not into that. Jesus Christ. They're into the boy raping, but not the trans.
There's a viral photo showing the UN global agenda. What is it? The 2030 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's got the wheel with all the colors and it's like gender equality and all these things. And there's a photo of a Taliban guy holding a gun and pointing it at a bunch of civilians. This idea, how absolutely psychotic are these people at the UN to be like, you can go in, make demands of a culture without changing the culture. What the were they thinking? To just go into this country and be like, these people hate us. They don't know us. They don't like us. They don't share our ways. But we can just put up this billboard and tell them that's how you're living from now on, and they'll accept it.
They're like enacting ancient military strategy, like how, you remember in the Revolutionary War, the British would walk in lines. They would, like, old school, they'd line up and they'd all walk forward together, and the Americans were hiding behind trees and they would just mow them down. World War One, they would walk in lines towards the machine gun turrets. You have to evolve your strategy. Now with social media and internet, you can't just put up a billboard and expect the dumb, ignorant surroundings to change.
Well, here's the thing. The West is exhausted morally. It no longer believes in itself. It's no longer assertive and strong. 150 years ago, you know, the Brits were all, you know, the Europeans were all, woohoo, we're going to colonize because we're the best. Now they're all elderly. They're exhausted. They're watching their, they're watching, Finland's, EDM group sing on Eurovision. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, as they anesthetize themselves with their terrible music and crappy food. And basically wait childless to die. The Taliban, on the other hand, believe in something. What they believe in is terrible and evil. All right. They're bad people.
Yeah.
But they believe in something, and the power of belief, the power of commitment will eventually overtake, you know, the kind of empty ideology of people who hire a few warriors to go out and fight. And look, our volunteer army was a great army. We fought tactically on the ground, man to man, magnificently. Our guys are very brave and shouldn't be, and should be proud that they serve their country. That being said, they were put in the service of a mission that was ridiculous and certainly not for their own interests.
What we're seeing with Afghanistan, in my opinion, is, look, whether you liked it or not, America engaged in foreign excursions, military bases all over the world, and now we have this major failure happening in Afghanistan. Just another grain of sand in the heap of U.S. power influence faltering.
Yes.
So we'll do a hard segue, because I do want to talk about the U.S. and, you know, there was a poll we talked about where the different regions want to break apart. You obviously have that book, and we can talk all about that. But I want to give a contextual warning first by talking about Australia. Just to say, we may be, I don't know how far away we are from where Australia is now in terms of these alternative quarantine hubs. But if you don't look at what's happening in a country like Australia, which is considered to be a liberal democracy, that doesn't mean they're liberals. It just means it's like you're supposed to have individual liberties and personal freedoms. Yeah, you don't in that country anymore. Let me show you the story, and then we'll bring it back to the U.S. and what we're seeing here. But this is important. We have this from vic.gov.au. I did not believe it was real when I saw it on Twitter. Victorian quarantine hub, protecting the community from COVID-19 with a purpose-built quarantine facility. And they talk about their relocatable cabins, which is a fancy way of saying camp, I guess. When I saw this posted on Twitter, I said, someone's hoaxing us. They would not. This is insane. So I went, I saw on this piece of paper that people are posting, it's like an image like, hey, just want to let you know we're building this quarantine facility. And there's a URL on it. So I pulled up Google and I typed in vic.gov and then Google auto-filled the rest, giving me the suggestion of this website, the Victorian Quarantine Hub. And so I clicked it, and sure enough, here we are. Community information session. They have a PDF which explains everything. You know, when will the hub be built? Oh, they're building it soon. 3,000 beds, they say. The new hub will also be designed with relocatable cabins so that it can be utilized for an alternative and future needs, including ongoing quarantine arrangements, crisis accommodation, and other emergencies.
In Australia, concentration camp come to you.
That's right.
It's relocatable, so they can move it around to wherever they need to incarcerate.
I guess if, you know, if the idea is a camp, like you're not going to be given an actual living structure, like a structure to live in, then
like tiny
homes. Relocatable cabin. There you go.
Relocatable cabin. You know, there was a time when Australia was known as a free country.
What happened?
And there was also
they gave up their guns for one
thing. What year?
Well, hold on.
Not too many ago.
There was a time when it was a penal colony.
Oh, yeah.
And ironically seemed probably more free then.
Yeah,
I think it's baffling to me. I don't think it would fly in the United States outside of certain blue areas. I think
you'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if it flew in, you know, New York. I would be surprised if they put up with it in, say, Oklahoma, because
I wouldn't.
Well, I have to be optimistic. I don't think there's any other choice. Otherwise, you know, then I, you know, find a bridge and jump off it. But I think for a long time we've had people, woke people, apparently they're woke because they've been saying, you know, they're building FEMA camps. And we're like, hey, you're crazy. Look at Australia now. Mm-hmm. See? And it's like, well, No.
It's frogs in a pot. Let me pull this picture.
Yeah, good point.
Look how amazing this looks.
Oh, wow.
All right. They say, design accommodation buildings into clusters of 10 to 16 units housing around 50 to 60 guests to create a higher level of privacy and outlook. Accommodation buildings are to be single story and maintain a low profile on the site. Give each quarantine block its own identity using color to assist with wayfinding. And I think probably if you're someone who lives there, you should wear the color maybe on your chest so that people know
maybe
which block
you're from. Maybe
it's a triangle? Maybe, you know, we could do shapes and colors.
Shapes and
you
colors. Know,
triangle,
good, good.
Stars,
something
diamonds. That,
something that evokes your identity in some way.
Yeah, then they see you, they know which block you're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
And then we have this right here. They say the proposed alternative...
It's one of those...
The proposed alternative quarantine accommodation will be constructed in multiple stages, supported by a decision gateway for government at the delivery of every 1,000 places. Figure 27 below shows an indicative master plan for the first 1,000 places.
Well, the master plan, that doesn't sound at all scary.
Yeah, it sounds great.
You know, here's what I'm waiting for. Liberal Twitter activist George Takei to weigh in on how this is a great idea.
Yes.
You know, it's
because irony has completely died.
You know what I find really funny is that I can tweet something about, oh, how about this? When Google and Facebook said we're mandating vaccines for employment, I tweeted, they're going to have a bunch of job openings. I said, I wonder how many people will quit. All of a sudden, I get establishment Democrat Twitter screaming and waving their arms violently in the air, saying like, oh, who cares? What's the problem? Blech. Cameron Caskey of Parkland fame tweets at me like, well, then they're about to have a bunch of job openings for people who aren't stupid. And I said, I'm talking about medical exemption in these issues. Now, when I actually call the New York City government, they all said to me, you're so dumb. Obviously, there are medical exemptions to these mandates. I call New York and they say, no. I call the restaurants. They say, no, none. Sorry, bye. And now where are all those people on Twitter? Not tweeting at me. I'll tell you this. I DM'd Cameron Caskey just to be like, hey, man, just wanted to send this your way, let you know, because I tweeted at him. Hey, we interacted on this before. Wondering what you think. Doesn't care. Because these people don't care. They are marching us blindly towards fascism. And I mean it in the literal sense. Mussolini's fascism with a lucrative merger between corporation and state. We are watching it happen in Australia. You think this is a joke? They are building what they call relocatable cabins for people for other emergencies as part of their master plan for the first 1,000. What is that going to look like? And let me tell you, there was one of the athletes in the Olympics said that, was it the Olympics? I can't remember. There was an athlete who said they got quarantined and it was hell. They were in solitary confinement with no fresh air and garbage food. Have you seen the videos of people of the food they were given when they were in like a hotel quarantine? There was one guy up in Canada. It was like two pieces of white bread with a slice of American cheese in the middle of it. That's the food they give you at the hotel when you can't leave for 2 weeks and the windows don't open. That is worse than many prisons that at least give you outdoor time. This one woman said she had to protest and threaten. They threatened her. We'll keep you locked up longer. And she was like, we need air. And then she said it was like the scariest moment of her life. She went outside and it was like the greatest moment of her life to get that fresh air. That's what they're doing to regular people simply for travel. If you think that they're not going to do something worse to you for defying the government when the Australian military is already patrolling the streets, 800 ADF troops in Sydney, about 1400 police officers, mounted officers and dog patrols. And they announced 5 p.m. curfew. Now in New Zealand, which is Australia's Canada. One COVID case, and they locked the entire country down.
Yep.
You think I am exaggerating? Even CNN recognizes the absurdity by putting an ellipses in the title. New Zealand announces it's locking down the entire country, ... over one COVID case.
They love this.
It is not about, in New Zealand, you're not going to convince me it's about COVID.
You're cruising down the highway. Windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more. All for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No.
It's one case and they shut the entire country down?
Centralized authority.
Building camps for people? I'll tell you this, man. It's happening right now in front of everyone's face. And what worries me is the apathy. Because you mentioned people in Oklahoma would probably resist. Here's what I think. I think there will be select individuals who are going to be like, stay away from my house. And then there's going to be the majority of people being like, what am I supposed to do about it?
Look, every movement starts with a cadre. There could be an incident, a spark, something that sets it off. We don't know where this is going to go. We have this unique situation where we have a scenario that we've never had before. We have our least competent and worst ruling class ever. And we have angry, angry people, angry on many levels, and not for all the same things. I mean, there are a lot of angry leftists out there, too.
That's right.
But there are a lot of angry conservatives, and you've talked to them, too. And you know the depth of their anger. And at some point, somebody, and I don't want it to happen, but it may happen, and that's what I wrote about. At some point, somebody's going to make the calculation, I can't tolerate this anymore, and I don't care what they do to me. And then it gets ugly very, very fast.
Do you see the
because this, all these institutions are a giant Jenga tower, and you pull out a couple blocks, and that thing comes tumbling down because they're that incompetent.
Do you see the DHS announcement on potential terror?
Oh, yes.
In the coming month?
Yes.
People who celebrate religious holidays, potential terror threat.
Vaccine resistors.
People who challenge government mandates, yeah. Potential terror threat.
Exactly. People who question elections. Oh, Stacey Abrams? Is she now a threat? I thought she was, you know, I thought she was only a threat to the Golden Corral steam table.
I'll tell you what I think will happen here. I said this many times. My prediction would be, I'm not saying I can see the future. I'm saying if I had to make an educated guess, you'll find a small town in Oklahoma and some young men fighting age, I suppose, and maybe some middle-aged guys just put up a sign at the front of the road that enters their town, and they get two guys to stand there on watch into and out of the town, and they just say, stand watch and check people who are coming in and out because we don't want any of that mandate stuff coming in our town. And so then a truck will pull up and they'll be like, how's it going, sir? And be like, yeah, I'm just bringing in some wheat. And they'll be like, right away, no problem. And they'll let them in. And then some like law enforcement will come by and they'll be like, you can turn it right around. Where does that lead to? I don't know. But we've already seen some things like that where some towns actually closed exit ramps to their city. When we were driving through, I think it was New Mexico, there was a small town, very small, like 1,000 people, and they blocked the exit ramp into their city because of COVID. Now, those are people, right, so it's a blue area. Those are people who are scared of COVID doing it. Well, what do you think you're going to get from the more, you know, liberty-minded, conservative, or libertarian types in small towns in middle America?
Look, I think there's a tremendous amount of anger out there because people understand that they've been lied to, they've been cheated, and that they are in the process of being disenfranchised. And that is a recipe for disaster. And once the disaster starts, there's no stopping it.
So here we are now. We are in the era of mandated vaccines in four different cities, notably New York, New Orleans, San Francisco. I'm not sure what the last city was, but it may be three. I know that there were three announced. I know San Francisco and New York, and they're mandating this. No medical exemptions in New York, as I've noted several times. And now we're at the point where they're saying you need, after 8 months, a booster shot.
I'm gonna get right on that.
Well, here's the first thing I always say. Obviously, like for you, when you got vaccinated, you went to a doctor, and it was a doctor you trusted. And would you call him a conservative doctor?
Yes.
I think that's between you and him. I got nothing to do with it.
But exactly.
I will say, people who got these vaccine cards. Did any of y'all ask why there were four lines on it? And you only needed two, and that says other and other? Yeah, because they were always expecting there to be boosters. And to be honest, they even said this. They said, we may require more in the future. It may become a seasonal thing. So here's the point I want to make real quick. We already had one libertarian, I suppose, on Twitter say, if I had a choice between a facility with a mask mandate and a facility with a vaccine passport, I'd choose the vaccine passport because I'm already vaccinated.
I like the choice. I like how he creates the choice where I can have this, or I can have this abuse of my liberty or that abuse of my liberty. I'd rather take, you know, if I had to choose between gonorrhea and syphilis, I'd probably go with gonorrhea.
And he says,
that's,
you know,
that's the ultimate modern libertarian conundrum.
Reason.com. But he goes on to say, I'm opposed to all of the restrictions, but I would just choose that one. And that's exactly the point.
Yes.
They say, at first, look, just get it. And my response is like, if your doctor wants, thinks you should. You keep your medical decisions between you and a medical professional, not internet people or politicians.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, because these people have all just gotten it, when it comes out that they're going to be mandating for all these businesses, they say, I don't care. I already got the vaccine, right?
Yeah.
Now what happens? Now you need a booster. And they say, well, I've already got the card and I've already done this much. I might as well just go and get the booster. The problem is, it's incrementalization into authoritarianism. I got no problem with the vaccines. I got no problem to an even extent with like going to the countries requiring it. I went to Venezuela. I had to have a vaccine card. I had to go to the doctor, get it filled out. He signed it. I went to Venezuela. They said, show us proof you've got yellow fever and these other things. Yep. And I'm like, here you go. The problem is that in these cities, they're barring people in violation of their rights. And I don't know. What scares me is I don't see it as sustainable. So I guess I should say this. When you mentioned before that you think some people in Oklahoma will not stand for this kind of stuff, I actually should say people everywhere won't, even in New York City.
I hope not.
But I'm not saying like, I actually think a decent amount of people everywhere will start becoming fed up with this. If you look at New York, you can see that less than, it's about 56% of the people are vaccinated, which means right now, about half of New York City cannot use these services, these public accommodations. How long will that last until the system breaks?
I think it is unsustainable. And remember, and it's not just that. It is a conglomeration of things. It is your children being taught that because of their race, they are, you know, either good or bad or indifferent. It is America humiliated overseas in Afghanistan. It is $4.59 gas, which I've been paying in LA.
Wow.
It is, it is people say, well, you know, maybe you don't need cheeseburgers because, you know, the weather in 100 years. It is all these things where they suddenly, you know, the elite suddenly got a chance to kind of foist It's stuff on us. And in 7 months, it's been a freaking disaster, as we predicted. And I think people are just getting fed up. Now, one of the things that gives me hope, I was alive when Saigon fell. I was 10 years old. I remember it. I was very engaged as a kid in news and current events. And I remember distinctly, and I remember feeling much like I'm feeling now, except now I didn't have friends who, you know, got shot in Afghanistan and are now wondering why they went and got shot. But 5 years after Afghanistan, or after Saigon fell, America elected Ronald Reagan, and it started, you know, it gave us, you know, 11 years later, America was at its height of its power. And I was physically there at the place America was at its greatest power. I was at 7th Corps Main Command Post during Desert Storm, during the land war. The greatest military force ever assembled, the most decisive defeat of an enemy in all of military history, arguably, was the Allied attack in ground attack in Desert Storm. And I was at 7th Corps Main Command Post. I heard radio calls I later read about in books. So I was physically standing there at America's greatest pinnacle of power, the undisputed power in the world. And it's been all downhill for 30 years from there. But it doesn't mean we can't go back. And the Romans had this too. You know, they, you know, Hannibal, you know, the Romans are doing great. Hannibal shows up. They lose three battles in a row, Cannae being the third of them, where 100,000 Romans are dead. Including most of their senators, which sounds to me like a good start. But that's a joke. That's a joke.
Talking about ancient Rome.
That's a joke. Ancient Rome. But you know, and then Rome ground its way back and became even more powerful after. So, you know, a society can hit low points. You know, we can hit the depths of our biorhythm and still go back up. I'm optimistic, Tim. I'm always optimistic because I, you know, there's something about Americans –
there's something about our Constitution, and these are unique, and they are special, and I just feel in my heart, and maybe I'm crazy and stupid, and maybe I'm idealistic, God help me, I thought that was surgically removed from me in law school, but I think we come back from this. But it's important that we understand how far down we are. It's like the alcoholic has to take, you know, inventory when he hits bottom.
But during, would you say that during the Vietnam era, the country was at this level of authoritarianism?
No.
Fracturing? Maybe. Political tribalism?
Somewhat. Remember, there was a full-scale terrorist, low-intensity, conflict. Thousands of bombings in the early 70s. Thousands. In the early 70s. I mean, they weren't killing people left and right, but they were kind of killing people left.
It was mostly shock and awe, wasn't it?
A lot of it were message bombings, but there were, you know, cops being shot down the street. The Capitol was blown up. They tried to blow up a number of targets, managed to blow up themselves, which, you know, that's a win-win. Unfortunately, after that, a lot of them were absorbed into academia. And look, we...
And then raised some kids who went on to become DAs in San Francisco.
Yes, Chesa Boudin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We... what we need... here's what I'm afraid of, and here's what we need. We need not Ronald Reagan, but a Reagan-like figure who is willing to come in and push his agenda towards the kind of civil liberties that we're talking about. Not exactly like Ronald Reagan, not the same policies, but a communicator who is forthright and focused. I am worried that what we're going to get is a real authoritarian, because people are going to say, I can't take this chaos.
That's right.
I can't take this chaos. And there are three options. A free society where everyone has rights, a society where our authoritarian rules, a society where their authoritarian rules. I want number one. I can live with number two. Number three, it's war.
Was Abraham Lincoln authoritarian?
Yes.
That's right. He was.
Yes, he was. And he was one of my heroes. His portrait was on my family's wall at my grandmother's house in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, burned twice by the Confederacy, right down the road from Gettysburg, which is one of the first places I was taken as a kid. So, yes, a guy can be authoritarian and not necessarily authoritarian in context and in a limited way with the idea of coming back from it.
James Buchanan, right? He was the one who led us into the Civil War, basically.
Yeah, he was the Biden of his era.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say, is Biden Buchanan.
JBJB.
JBJB.
There you go.
Oh, no.
Except I'm not sure Biden... I'm not sure Buchanan was, Grandpa Badfinger, but let's leave his personal...
But can we get, like, a numerologist now to, like, do the numbers and be like, the correlation between the two?
Well, let me text my phrenologist.
There you go.
And see what he's...
So a lot of people were wondering if this period of Biden would be so bad that you will get a major, you know, blowout election in 2022 and 2024.
You will.
I mean, I'd like to say that, but I think I've thought that in the past. You know, in 2018, I was like, wow. I was like, with how crazy the Democrats have gotten and how inconsistent and broken. And then we get the squad. You actually get more absurd.
Look, the Democrat Party has been pulled to the left. The Republican Party has been pulled to the patriotic, because for a long time the Republican Party was, you know, an establishment party. It was the party of the guy who pulled up and stepped out of his limousine and fired all you guys who worked at the Carrier air conditioning plant and said, hey, your job's going to Oaxaca. Don't worry. We'll teach you to code or something.
Yeah.
And he looks exactly like Mitt Romney, by the way. And look, the Republican Party ignored normal people, the guys who built this country, fed it, fueled it, fought for it. They ignored them in favor of this giant corporate nightmare. You got to understand, I was a normal Republican. I subscribed to the Weekly Standard before it became, you know,
the Weekly Anti-Trump.
Before it became a Jeffrey Toobin Zoom inspiration material. And I only changed because of YC. I was not a supporter of Trump when he was running. Before he won the primary, after he won the primary, I was a reluctant supporter. I became an active supporter when he proved himself. I supported going into Iraq. I support going into Afghanistan. I thought these were good ideas. I actually participated in a successful nation-building operation in Kosovo. Very different situation, though. I changed my minds my mind because the facts changed. And I love what these guys on Twitter are like, you know, 10 years ago, you had different ideas. Yes. Yes. when things changed and I reevaluated under new facts, yes, I changed my mind. You have correctly assessed what I have done. Good point. Aces. You are correct. And I don't delete the old stuff.
Oh, yeah. Several years ago, I didn't own any guns. Now I own many.
Oh.
Now I got a Barrett M82.
Nice.
I think that's really
funny. Holy crap! What, you got bears around here?
Bears?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Actually.
That's not for bears. I mean, it could have...
Well, bears, daddies, you know, otters.
Yeah.
So, but, no, you have a... I remember I was talking to someone who posted on Facebook some meme like, there's no reason to own any weapon. They said, no self-respecting hunter would ever use an assault weapon. And so then...
I'm not a hunter.
I responded with like showing like a polymer tip 450 Bushmaster versus like a 9mm, which is used in combat, or like a 5.56, and then I'm like, which one do you think the hunter uses? They use the stopping power.
Yes.
For large animals. And I was like, your argument makes no sense. But the interesting thing was they came back with like, oh, the right wing gun nuts, no one's taking your guns. Here's a list of my guns that have been banned already. And like, and then he responded with, what do you need any of those for? And so I actually said, I'm going to engage with this guy in good faith. And I had a list. I said, okay. And then I explained the purpose of every gun, like barrel length, caliber, like hunting, a small game. Like I got a break action 410. It's like a turkey shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we have wild turkeys sometimes. We don't use it here. But when you go to West Virginia, you got to get rid of some of the turkeys because they're a pest if there's
yep.
too many. Then you get something more powerful if there's wild boars infesting an area. Deer can become a very big problem.
Yep.
And then you have home defense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've got different, options there. And then I was like, well, put the M82 at the bottom. We'll come back to that one later. And then I said, and then my response to that one was, because I have a right to own it, and it's none of your business.
Yeah.
Because outside of anything else, I can easily explain the function of these things. This one, it's mine.
Yeah, I want it, which is another grounds for not taking the vaccine. Why don't you want the vaccine? Because I don't. Done. Argument over. That see, people don't understand about rights, Tim. They think that rights are just... like a brand of like special privilege, but if you have a really good reason though, the right has to give way. And as I said before, a lot of these people have the whole rights responsibility thing. Like what is his name, Uncle Ben in Spider-Man? With great power comes great responsibility. No, the idea of rights is no responsibility. Rights are a given. Otherwise, they're not rights. They're just privileges. And we've seen what you would do with privileges.
The founding fathers said that we have, it's self-evident. We have inalienable rights.
Yes.
That were granted to us by our creator.
Yes.
Meaning,
we can do them even if you think it's a bad idea.
And they'll try and stop you.
Yes.
And even with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they still infringe upon all of them,
though
the founding fathers outlined that these shall not be infringed, but here we are.
And one of the biggest disasters of our institutions is the Supreme Court failing to aggressively police attacks on our rights. Every time they pass on a, you can't sing in church.
They have no power.
The
Supreme Court is meaningless.
The Supreme Court would have had some moral authority if it stood up for the things it should. Then people would listen. Now people are like, well, Kavanaugh is just going to roll over because he's got to go to the country club.
Yep.
A guy I don't understand, because if they did that to me, holy crap, it would be a jihad.
So they
would be my project.
I think it was Will Chamberlain who told us that the reason the Supreme Court doesn't get aggressive on some of these cases is because they have no enforcement ability. And if they push hard on something, it will reveal the emperor has no clothes, which it has. When the Supreme Court
yes.
ruled that the eviction moratoriums
yep.
were illegal completely in every sense,
yep.
and the CDC has no authority to do it, then Biden said,
I'm just gonna do it anyway.
Yeah, whatever. Screw the Supreme Court.
That's
right?
my issue with rights being inalienable. I mean, the way it's written is they can't inalienable. They can't be taken away. They're there. But like the reality, like that's kind of the myth we tell ourselves. The reality is, if someone with a lot of weapons wants to just say this is a new world with new sets of rights and laws and ideas, then that is what it is.
Well, simply because rights can be violated doesn't make them not rights. It makes somebody a violator of rights, and you have a moral obligation to resist. No. Right. Look, people are going to want to take what's yours. You may have a right to some, but they're going to want to take
it. Ian, do you think people have a right to express themselves freely?
It depends on the situation.
So is that a no?
Yeah. If you're out in the woods and if you make a sound, the panther knows where you are and will rip your throat out, then no, you don't have that right. Well, yeah, you have the ability.
You have the right. You just got to defend it.
Right.
Which is why you need that Bushmaster.
But, I mean, the reality is we're squishy bodies.
But like, I don't think you understand what a right means, right?
So, yeah, like, exactly. We've got to define what that means.
If somebody wanted to speak freely, should they be stopped?
Well, it depends on the situation. If you're going to alert people to your presence, then yeah, they should be stopped.
I'm just saying, like, okay, so there are circumstances in which you think people shouldn't be allowed to express themselves.
Yes.
Right. I don't agree with that. I think people have a right to express themselves no matter what.
Well, the consequences, to the military.
The consequences are their choice. There's a difference between saying, well, you might give away your position. It's like, okay, well, you're allowed to do it. That's your decision, not mine. And I'll tell you this. And if I'm standing next to you and we're in the woods and you want to start screaming at the top of your lungs, I have a right to walk away. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, Ian, you go ahead and do it.
Yeah, but if my screaming is going to get us killed, then...
I will leave.
No.
My rights are more important than your life. And it's not even close. And no offense, but my rights are more important than your... They're also more important than my life. I will not live where I cannot speak freely, where I cannot worship as I see fit. I will not live that way.
What about the right?
I will die before I do
that.
What
about the right to pursue happiness?
That's not a right. That is a preamble. Rights are specific.
I see. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That was like a conveyance of feeling about what their goal was. They didn't make the First Amendment the right to pursue happiness. Right. It's nebulous and vague and can't be enforced.
Yes, and the Bill of Rights is not the only rights. It simply expects some. In fact, they thought many people thought we don't need a Bill of Rights. This stuff's obvious.
Was it the Anti-Federalists?
I don't remember. It's one of them.
I think it was the Anti-Federalists who were like, we're not giving you that power. It's got to be outlined. In fact, I think there was originally 17 in the Bill of Rights, and they decided to combine some, remove some, and boy, did they screw up the second. You know why? Because the original article that they wrote up actually said, even if you are not a part of a militia, your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But they were worried that if they included that, people would use it as an argument to avoid conscription. So they said, let's just say you have the right to keep and bear arms.
Let's just give the damn Brady group some to try and hang its stupid
hat on. It doesn't matter, though. You know why? Because without...
It's still clear.
Without culture... It's meaningless.
Oh, of course.
That's completely. My point.
Look, rights have to be defended and enforced.
But no, Ian, I'm not saying that your rights don't exist. I'm saying that if you don't have a culture that's going to agree with you or recognize your rights, then the Constitution doesn't grant you your rights. It tells the government not to infringe upon these specific rights.
Right, but
if you have a culture that says we'll infringe anyway, be prepared to defend your rights.
But it was the founding fathers that decided which rights are inalienable.
No, they didn't, Ian. They said, let's create a list of rights to stop the government from infringing.
Yeah.
They even say that rights that aren't included are not, just because they didn't include in the Bill of Rights, it doesn't mean you don't have those rights.
Right, they were like, let's pick the best, like, outline. For
the
what it is to live
ones.
In like a human yeah society,
the
and they agreed
ones.
On it. These are Puritan Christian white men that agreed on a set of rights.
Well,
no, doesn't mean that
no.
they're the only rights or that they're the best rights.
No, Ian, you are wrong. They didn't all agree on what rights were. In fact, there was an argument over whether or not they'd have a Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. What they said was, we have rights, then which ones do we put in? Out of 17, they get down to 10. And they said, these are the ones that protect the country. And they negotiated and compromised. There were many people who felt there were some rights you should have and some rights you shouldn't have. Some people were slave owners and some people were abolitionists. They clearly did not agree.
So I guess some cultures might have a Bill of Rights that say you have the right to 3 wives.
Yeah, but they're wrong.
Well, who says, though? That's our military.
Our Constitution does not say you have a right to anything.
Yes, that's correct. No positive rights.
It does. It says these rights are yours.
No, it doesn't. The government can't infringe on them.
Our rights
are negative rights. Mm-hmm. The enumerated rights, that is, the ones that are specifically set out, because those are not the only ones. They're specifically reserved other rights. The enumerated rights are all negative.
The Bill of Rights, you're saying.
The Bill of Rights, they are all negative in the sense that the government cannot infringe on these. There are no rights that you have to something. You have no right to a house or a job or to my labor.
But in
or
saying
to pronouns.
In saying they have the obligation to not infringe on that right, they're essentially saying you have that right.
Yeah.
So they
no,
are
they're acknowledging. No, that well, the rights come from God.
That's what it says. It's written in that it's like God said, and it's like, come on, guys.
Well, I don't think you understand the philosophy
God's,
of what the... I
God
think you,
gave it.
Ian, I think it'd be really important that if you're
well,
going...
Well, where else would rights
you,
come
well,
from?
Ian,
a
you
gun.
Need, Ian, you need to actually, like, read some theology and some religion to understand what they're saying, because I think the problem here is that you fundamentally don't understand the philosophy behind inalienable rights. You seem to think that some guys read a Bible and just arbitrarily decided something because you don't understand what it means to have intrinsic, inherent value.
Well, I
human.
See that there is value to it. I acknowledge, like, the free speech is legit, but it's also subjective to our society and our culture right now.
No, a right can't be subjective. A right is inherent to every human being. And, you know, even the victim of the Taliban who's got an AK-47 to his head has a right to speak freely, even if someone's going to blow his head off because he does it. And when I say the rights come from God, I'm a religious guy. There are people who aren't religious who are humanists. They'll call themselves humanists and say that as a human being, I have these rights. And, you know, at the end, the effect is, similar in that they are a given. They are outside debate. You cannot debate the right to do it because the right exists. That's why I reject all these balancing tests. Well, you know, Tim, it's important that you have free speech. But, you know, if your speech is harmful, well, look, speech is the only speech that matters. The only time rights matter is when it's harmful or forbidden or unwanted or unreasonable. Otherwise, it doesn't. You don't need a right.
I think
no one will care.
There are certain rights that are actually universal. In fact, in all cultures, you know, the right.
There are basic like tenets that allow us to survive as a species better, and I think a lot of those are codified in the U.S. Constitution. But for people to rely, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm afraid that people are going to rely and be like, "These are my rights. This paper says so, so no one can touch me." And like, dude, you have to fight.
What?
To,
yeah.
To if you want those to be real,
you
need to struggle.
We're on the same sheet of music there, and that's why I believe every American should own guns. That's why I believe every American should be trained to participate in the defense of our community and constitution.
I mean, there's the serious challenge, though, of what happens when the bus pulls up for the Australians and says, you know, we're going to be taking you and relocating you to the alternative quarantine hub, to the relocatable campsite. We're going to be color coordinating, you know, your outfits and your cabins.
Yeah, so unfortunately, they're going to finish their fosters and get on board.
Mm-hmm. They actually, I don't think they have fosters in Australia.
I think they have fosters in Australia.
I don't think so.
No, I think it's like the old Milwaukee.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not there. I have friends from Australia, and they're like, we don't have that.
You don't have fosters?
I'm pretty sure.
With a big can?
Yeah, Sydney, I'm pretty sure that's not
Sydney
that's
Watson,
thing.
Can you
yeah, yeah, yeah.
This?
She said they
You're
don't
from Australia.
Okay. I always make that joke, or not like a half joke to my Australian friends. I'd be like, oh, so you guys like drink fosters like Budweiser? And like, we don't have that. It's American. And I'd be like, really?
Really?
But maybe I don't know. I'm not from Australia.
So
let me ask you though.
They got voodoo gurus.
In light of this conversation about our rights, with everything that's been happening, let's talk about the split. What do you think is? You're optimistic. You said that you think we're going to have a resurgence and some patriotism, a new president who comes and saves the day, or do you think it's all going to just crumble, fall apart?
Look, I have to think that somehow we're going to get through this, and there's going to be a new day where we realize that it's important to respect our rights, to create a civil society where everybody can participate, and where it's not run for the pure benefit of an elite upper class. There will always be an elite, but we used to have an elite that at least pretended to care about the nature of the country and the people in it. We don't have that right now. The split is my sixth Kelly Turnbull action novel. People run around, shoot people. This story is America has split in two, into red and blue areas. The hero goes into the blue areas to do missions and sees how things are happening. The split takes place about six months, a year after the country has split in two.
So this is like your imagination of what would happen if this really did happen, right?
Yes.
Basically.
So, yeah.
So how does the country split?
Country basically comes up to the brink of war and negotiates a somewhat peaceful split in two, basically.
But what's the underlying fracture? Is it just tribalism?
It's exactly what we're seeing now. It's an elite that wants to oppress. It is normal Americans who don't want to be oppressed. There is some violence.
Some red states like, you know, Abbott, DeSantis say we're not going to comply.
Exactly. Some of the bigger red states refuse to comply. There is a crisis, which was the book that preceded this crisis. And that covers the split up of America in my timeline. And all through it, you know, you have my little action hero running around with his Wilson Combat CQB 45 shooting liberals and seeing people be wacky. And he's dealing with a lot of these folks. And Blue America is essentially a giant college campus. People's talking about their pronouns, you know, sports team, you know, forced to, you know, invite fat athletes so that they're anti-fatism.
It's almost, yeah. What's that? I can't remember the name.
Idiocracy?
No. That short, the short story about how,
Harrison Bergeron.
Yes.
I know, it's just like right there. Kurt Vonnegut. another Kurt who writes.
Well, so does this follow the timeline properly with the other story you had?
I've written the books out of chronological order. I actually conveniently have a list. In fact, I've got like 425 reviews in Amazon, most of them 5-star, which I'm super appreciative of. People love these books, and I really enjoy writing them, and I hope I'm saying so. But in these reviews, a startling number are like, and in his preface, which you should read, Kurt lists the timeline of the books, because I didn't write them chronologically in the timeline. So you can read them as he wrote them. You can read them in chronological order to see how things go. But it's, you know, I'm now on 6 books, so I've kind of got like a canon. But, and I feel like those Star Trek guys, you know, and people are coming up going, you know, your character, Kelly Turnbull, in number one, he said his social security number was 1234567 89. But in the new one, it's 1234579. What's up with that?
It's like, would you
typo?
Would you advise them reading them chronologically or from the beginning?
Let's talk about the story. You don't think it's going to happen, though?
I think we're going to figure. I think we're going to have in 2022, 2024, a backlash, and I think we're going to muddle through. That doesn't mean we will. That means I think that's the most likely result, and frankly, it's the one I hope for.
What do you think the Democratic establishment will do when they lose control of the House but retain control of cultural institutions and the presidency?
Well, if we have a...
Are they up? They're up to lose the Senate as well, right?
They could lose the Senate.
Yeah.
It's less likely. They're almost starting to lose the House, just on structural factors.
Gerrymandering.
Which we should do ruthlessly, because they're going to.
I want to pause real quick and explain how important and good gerrymandering is.
Oh, yes.
The people who claim that gerrymandering is bad, these people are authoritarians who are trying to lie to you and manipulate you. You see the memes all the time where they're like, gerrymandering is bad, and here's why. And they show 3 squares. And within each square, you can see 40% red and 60% blue. And they say in each of these districts, a Democrat will win. Now let's do gerrymandering. And then they shape the inside of the cubes in certain ways so that it's like 3-2 red and the
right.
Republicans win. And then they always say, see, that's why it's bad. They will then show you a map. And on the map, you'll see like Dan Crenshaw's district, for instance, is like a weird moon shape with like weird lines connecting it. And they're like, see, it makes no sense, right? What should it look like? A square? But what about industrial centers? What about factories?
Exactly.
Are those going to fall inside his congressional district? No. They draw these things to make sense for two very important reasons. One, when it's drawn all weird, it's because that's where people live.
Yes.
And they think it's going to be a square. It's like, that's a Sea World, dude. it's got to be over the houses. So they connect the residential areas and it looks weird. The other reason is if we just did it block by block, you very well could end up with zero representation for a strong minority who then says, I object, because they're no longer getting listened to.
Exactly. Ideally, representative districts should be representative. But they don't have to be perfect. And, you know, the party in power in each state has the ability to draw lines to its advantage to get 1 or 2 extra seats. In New York, I think there are right now 8 Republicans. They're probably going to cut it down to 3.
Yeah, and I think
and in Ohio, there's a map you could draw, a legit map that, and there's some Voting Rights Act stuff to make sure that minority communities have representation. That's just a fact. I'm not arguing for or against it. But you could get a 13-2 Republican Ohio if you did it certain way. And I say you should do it because everybody's going
to
do it.
So back to the main issue. Republicans control a majority of the states, state houses, which means they can draw up the congressional maps.
Yes,
which means Republicans, just on that factor alone, are poised to win at least, what is it, 11 seats they need to win.
Yeah, about they need five to win, five to take over.
And what do you think is going to happen when in 2022 the Democrats lose the House? They've already been tweeting, if we lose the House, it's all over. I wonder what they mean by it's all. What is that reference to? And then what happens in 2024 when Trump or DeSantis wins? We already saw how insane they got in the first term of Trump. Are we just going to assume that they're going to sit back? Look what it was reported by the Boston Globe. What's the guy? He did the Hillary campaign. I can't remember his name.
John Podesta.
Yeah, look what he said Globe said that he advised the West Coast to secede if Donald Trump were to win the election. So what's going to happen come 2024? They lose cultural power 2020. They lose House power in 2022. We then start seeing, well, I don't want to get optimistic, but maybe Republicans will use subpoena power. I really doubt it.
Well, look, if we get a Republican in there who is woke, who knows what time it is, which.
You mean red-pilled?
Red-pilled.
Yeah, woke is the other way.
I like woke.
Woke
is my word. I'm taking woke back.
I'm with you.
I want woke. Man, I'm insomniac woke. I refuse to sleep. You're Ambien awake. For Kurt. I want a Republican. Let's call it Ron DeSantis, because Donald Trump is not that guy. Donald Trump still believes in institutions, which is adorable. But, you know, I'll support him if he's the nominee. But he's going to have primary, I think. I don't think he walks in by any means. Nor should he. I am unsentimental about politicians. You've got to prove you're the best. You got to prove you're the winner. And there's no gimmies and no favorites. Battle Royale, Thunderdome.
First, do you think Republicans should... One interesting thing is we have a ton of Republicans running now. Like, the announcements are apparently, like, huge numbers of people getting active and getting involved.
Yeah, a lot of them are... I mean, like, Mike Pompeo's a nice guy, but I don't see any Pompeo mania. Oh, for the House. The House is great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We're seeing some great guys.
30 candidates in some areas.
Oh, my gosh. People are super motivated, and that's great because that starts building our bench.
And then you have people like Scott Pressler, who's doing voter registration.
Love Scott.
And he's saying, I think Republicans, they're going to overtake Democrats in voter registration. So these are really good signs.
Yeah. And
do you think the Republicans will use the powers of the House at all the way the Democrats did?
Kevin McCarthy's going to have to walk a fine line between the old Republicans and the new ones. And he could resign. He won't. But look. We're adults here. There are factions. Our faction is not the majority. Our faction is the best. We are indisputably correct about our general principles, but not everyone agrees with us. We got to convert some. We got to win electoral fights against others, and we've got to use pressure. And if Kevin McCarthy feels the pressure to conform the way Nancy Pelosi has felt pressure from her radicals, which is the squad, and I'm calling ourselves the radicals, if only because we are not the establishment, that's okay. I don't care why they conform, as long as they conform.
And then come 2024, will the Democrats go insane?
They will.
DeSantis wins.
They will.
Or Trump.
But we need somebody who is conservative woke, who understands that every institution is dominated by the left and wants to bulldoze it all. I mean destroy academia. I mean end student loans, no more grants to them. I mean impose, guess what? Free speech on campus. If you don't defend it, you're in trouble.
You know what we need? We need a great reset of academia.
Oh, yes.
The idea that we're having young people take out hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Disgraceful.
To go to a building to read the internet.
Yeah.
Exactly. And look, I've got teenagers. So I kind of hear some of what teenagers do. Look, I'm 56 years old, okay? My finger's not on the pulse, and I don't get their music at all. But a lot of them are unbelievably woke about the college scam. Mm. They're like, I'm not going to go to some giant college, get a useless credential. It's not going to help me walk out with this anchor around my neck. Yeah. You know,
I love to hear it.
You know, there are other things I can do. Maybe I go out there. Maybe I'll start a podcast, which I think is beautiful. There's so much opportunity out there. We just need to be unleashed. There's so many ways people can create a life that they want to live. You did it. You've done it. You've done it. I've done it. We built lives we wanted to live. Think about that. That is unprecedented in human history. How many people got to say it? Most of them spent their whole life, you know, rowing a, you know,
people
hoe in a row.
The issue,
I guess.
Yeah. I think the farmer. Issue is that we've taught too many people to be envious. And so what you get is people who desperately want to fit in by just doing what they're told to do.
Yes.
And that's how you end up with people believing the economy is good.
Yes.
The media says it. I'll believe whatever they say so I can fit in. That's how you succeed. Instead of realizing that doing what you want to do and just doing it good, well, is what brings success.
Exactly. And then, and look, education may be part of it. Look, I needed a law degree to be a lawyer and a strategy degree to be a colonel. That's fine. I got those. They didn't stop me from doing other things. I was talking to the guys downstairs about being at UC San Diego, and I remember literally two things. I remember a little bit about the from classes. All right, I worked on Capitol Hill as an intern through the college. I wrote on the comedy paper and the political paper. I drank a lot of Coors. I saw the Jesus and Mary Chain live. I mean, I did a lot of fun things. But from classes, I learned a little about containment in the Cold War and got to talk to Michael Malice about it. By the way, that's his next book. And I learned about proportional voting in one particular class, and I understand it, and I don't like it. But that's literally all I got from the classes. I could have not ever gone to a class, and I'd be the same person.
Yep.
And that's, I mean...
You know my favorite thing is? When people on Twitter are like, Tim Pool's a high school dropout, and it shows. And I'm like, bro, you're just like some random anonymous guy on Twitter, and like, I'm running a big multimedia business.
Dude, you're
wake up, dude. Go work for yourself. Stop thinking about other people. This is what I'm saying. They spend so much time caring about other people instead of themselves.
Well, look, I mean, high school dropout. What does that mean?
It means I found institutionalized learning facilities to be a waste of time.
Yes. And you're here. You just had a guy with two advanced degrees, a law firm, who was a colonel in the Army, and I jumped on a plane to fly across the country to sit here talking to you for 2 hours. That seems pretty freaking good to me.
Hard work pays off.
Yeah.
And only
hard work pays off. And look, I tell people, you know, people are like, don't follow your dreams. Well, that's not necessarily so. You got to eat some stuff. Okay?
Look, you've got to work hard.
I mopped out toilets at Carl's Jr. I was a private in the Army. I did hard, miserable things I don't want to do again. But I'm doing what I want to do.
So you enlisted?
Yeah, I was enlisted.
And then how do you...
Officer Candidate School.
At a certain point, you then go...
Well, I had the promise of Officer Candidate School after basic training. So I went from basic immediately to OCS, was a worst 14 weeks of my life. I would go back to a war zone in a heartbeat before I'd go back to OCS.
Why?
It was horrible.
Don't a lot of people, they just go to... They get a degree, and then they go into...
ROTC.
Yeah.
And they get essentially some of the same training without the same nightmarish qualities of Officer Candidate School. Officer Candidate School is designed to throw out 1/3 of the people who apply. And they do.
Yeah.
And I should have been one of them because I was new to the Army. I didn't know anything about the Army. I'd been in 8 weeks. I managed to stick around. The reason I stuck around, according to my the officer in charge of my platoon, was, well, you were good on academics and you would teach people. And I thought that was, that was something good. You took a skill you had and you used it. And I thought that was good leadership. So I let you stay. I was like, oh, okay. You know, I mean,
yeah,
great. And I mean, miserable, horrible. I was so glad I did it.
What, do they just starve right, you guys? Like,
oh, yeah, starve, no sleep, constant pressure. Constant pressure for 14 weeks.
Like, what's an example? Oh, wow. What's an example of, like?
Oh, God. You're going to get you'll flunk out if you don't do this, this, and this. Okay, guys, you've rested 10 minutes. Now we're going to march 12 miles. You know, just constant. And you see how much you can take. And you learn a lot about yourself then.
And about what your guys are going through?
Oh, definitely. I could look at my guys in the eye and say, hey, I ate, you know, garbage too.
Dirt.
I ate dirt too.
You know why they need it? Because too many people in this country, they grow up in foofy marshmallow land.
Yeah.
Their parents, you know, there's a Kirk, an insurance commercial, I think it is. And it's like the parents, you know, tell the kid, like, we got you a car and it's a hand-me-down. And they're like, I can't believe this. And they're like, oh no. And I'm, you know, some commercial where the kid's freaking out because the car they got was bad. And I was like, man, you got a car? Wow. Those are the people that need that.
I got a 73 Mustang, 302 engine, 3-speed auto, for, $750. And I had to drive my brother around and drive myself to work and pay for the gas and stuff.
I'll tell you.
That was my car. I loved it.
I'll tell you a story. I was a long time ago. I was a teenager. My car broke. And I was going to go hang out with a friend. And I lived, this is when I was in the suburbs of Chicago. And my friend, I think, was like 20 miles away. In a car, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, you're in the suburbs. Like, I got to drive up. I'll be there in like half an hour. So I grabbed a bike and I said, I'm going to ride the 20 miles. Because if I want to go hang out, I have no choice. My car doesn't work. I can sit around and do nothing. I don't want to do that. That's lame. I got on my bike and I was riding down the side of a highway, pitch black in the middle of the night. And the tire exploded and I flipped over my handlebars and then I started walking. So, yeah. And there was another time where I was hanging out in Naperville, a suburb of Chicago, and after the party ended, I was like, time to go home. And start 10-mile walk. Took me a couple hours, several hours, got back in the early hours of the morning, went to bed. I thought it was awesome. Yeah. I had a great time walking those 10 miles. It was great.
Yeah, I remember walking back from a party like 7 or 8 miles, and I was just like, okay.
But how many people have that determination to be like, I am going to actually embark on walking 10 miles or riding a bike for 20?
It's important to do hard things. And what you see for so many of these kids today who are, you know, carted between soccer and violin lessons and, you know, hot yoga, is there's a lot of it, but it isn't hard. It isn't, there's no gut check for them because their tiger mom is making them do it. In OCS, literally no one cared except me if I got tossed out. No one cared. It was all me. They weren't encouraging me. They were like, hey, if you can't suck it up, get out. Quit. And a lot of people did. I was just stupid and stubborn. But I did it, and I think those experiences are hugely valuable. It makes you a better person to do hard things and know you can do hard things. And our society, what's that horrible, horrible cliche that's absolutely true? Good times make hard men make good times. Good times make soft men. Soft makes men hard times. Hard times make good men. Got it. It's a hack cliche, but it's absolutely true.
It is, and then it's also the fourth turning. You're familiar with the fourth turning?
No, it's a fourth turning.
What is it? Strauss-Howe generational theory? There's a lot of people who watch who like it. A lot of people don't like it. They think it's stupid.
It's interesting.
It's basically every 20 years, every new generation, you get different periods, the seasons. And so you have like, I forgot the name of each turning. The first is like immediately after World War II, the baby boom, the economy's exploding. Then you get the next generation, the children of those who fought. Then you get the next generation. And then by the fourth turning is you're in the crisis again.
Yep.
So like World War II was the crisis period.
Yep.
And so
that's about right.
We are literally in the crisis period right now, which is set to end, I believe, in 2028.
It coincides with the loss of life. Like basically the last generation that experienced the winter. It's, spring, summer, winter, or fall, winter.
Oh, interesting. I think there may be something to that. Definitely.
What happened 80 years ago?
Well, we had the Depression.
80 years ago.
80 years ago?
Yeah.
World War II.
What happened 80 years before that?
Oh, gosh. Civil War.
What happened 80 years before that?
Revolution.
That's right. So that's basically the idea.
Yeah, okay. I mean, look, I get it. I think that's, at the very least, it's thought-provoking.
Yes, I agree. There's no guarantees. I mean, you know, someone notices a pattern of like three major events happening after several generations, and they're like, maybe it'll happen again.
But when a generation dies that has experienced the trauma, they're not there to protect us from experiencing that trauma again. People are like, well, the war will be over by Christmas. Let's go.
That's why right now it's hilarious to see, and I'm stealing the meme from, I can't remember who said it, an alarming number of people who are screaming punch a Nazi now saying, show me your papers.
So punch a Nazi is so crazy, dude. And don't you see saying, what the Nazis used papers. To do? They used to punch communists.
Did you know that they also banned disabled people? So that's why I'm furious about what New York is doing. The Nazis claimed that Jews carried typhus, and that was one of their reasons for banning them. What they're doing in New York is not new, but people just keep forgetting their history.
Yeah.
Or they just don't care. Their mentality is probably like, well, I love it when they say they're on the right side of history. It's like, if that's what you think, sure, I guess. Is that why is that why you do what you do? Simply because you think one side's going to win, so you've sided with them? That's amazing. And then it'll be funny when you lose because you're a fascist.
Well, and I know that we're going to get like the Media Matters guys going, Kurt said you're showing sympathy for the Taliban. No. But right now, we have just seen an ideologically focused group of insurgents take over an incompetent, corrupt, and weak power structure. I mean, it fell apart. And we saw that. So when they start going, you're the American Taliban, I'm like, well, not ideological wise, but you guys are very weak and very ideologically uncertain. And I don't think there's anybody out there who's willing to die for CRT, but there's a hell of a lot of people who are willing to die for their rights. And of course, we're not there yet. It's not a perfect analogy. Shut up, you liberal jerks. But it's so blind of them to not understand what they're supporting, which is the unsupportable. Because the institutions, as they're currently constituted, have done nothing but fail. The Olympics failed. You know, the NBA is failing. The Academy Awards are failing. The colleges are failing. The banks are going to fail. The Wall Street's already failed. It got bailed out. The military has failed. The judiciary has failed. What hasn't failed? Everything's failed. That can't keep going.
I think the end happened in 2008, to be honest. And I think since...
At the beginning of the end.
Yeah, well, right. So what I mean that's when the foundation cracked and the building started to go down. And now they're like desperately trying to just slowly... You know, actually a better way to say it is that... As the cracks are forming and breaking and the building's starting to fall, they're like, shall we steal all the silverware before the building comes down? And so they run and they grab everything and they're running out the door.
I think
moving it all to China.
The whole Chinese thing. the way our institutions have sold out to China. Boy, watching Disney suck up to those guys. It's staggering. But they have. China's got its own problem. Right now, interestingly, China is cracking down on its own internet tech people.
They've been.
Yeah, they nailed Jack Ma.
Yeah, he's he's gone, right?
They split he disappeared for like months. He's like the richest businessman in China. Then they took his companies and started giving pieces of them away to other members of the party, et cetera, and his net worth plummeted by 50%.
Again, power is everything to these leftists. And they will kill the golden goose. That's what they're doing here. They're killing the golden goose that is America. I mean, you don't shut down the Keystone Pipeline and American energy independence because you want golden eggs.
And then we have a media in this country that are just too stupid. And so I loved all the fact checks where they were like, no, Joe Biden's policies aren't responsible for the gas price increase. Because these journalists didn't do any actual research. They just said... Well, the Keystone Pipeline wasn't transporting any oil, so it wouldn't have affected gas prices anyway. And then it's like, did you look up any economics? Because I'll tell you this. For one, Joe Biden's policy on the Keystone Pipeline caused speculators to believe that there would be a short supply in the coming years, which means buy now, make money later. The buying now increases the price of crude, which increases the price of gas.
Well, when you've done nothing in your life, but get a four-year degree at some prestigious college that your dad probably slipped him some money to get you into, or was a legacy. And then you wrote for some crappy website. And then you finally got a job at the Times or the Washington Post. That's your life experience.
Midwits.
Midwits. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Our elite is not elite. I wouldn't like being bossed around by an elite that was full of really smart, accomplished people. But it would grate a little less than these nitwits that we have now.
What about like an advanced alien species who comes to Earth and they have all this magical...
Our insect overlords?
And they have... no, the greys,
apparently,
right?
Those are real.
And they have... hold on. They have amazing technology. And they're like, if you listen to us, you will have access to all this technology or you can do your own thing. Would you be like, I'm gonna do what these guys say?
I think there would be a significant number of people who would go, this sounds like a great deal. I can give up all personal responsibility and get the benefits. I would.
No. I'm not saying they come to enslave everybody. They're just like, look at this technology we have. We'll tell you what to do in order to get to this level, but you have to follow our instructions. By all means, you can leave the deal at any time, or you can just say no. It's a great deal.
Oh, well, it depends on what their instructions are.
It's like we need cobalt and we need nickel, and then you put it in this way. My point is that you can recognize true authority and why it exists. Like, someone comes to you and says, you have freedom to choose, and this will help you. What do you say? You're like, this person clearly knows what they're talking about. Right? And I can walk away at any moment. That's a great deal. So the way I bring it up, because
I'm always looking for the twist.
Yeah, if they ask
sure.
you.
What's the twist?
We're going to finish building it in private.
I want to read the fine print.
But let's just say, like, it's hypothetically, like, it is a secure situation. Like, okay. You're not being
open source blueprints.
Okay, if somebody says, hey, here's some ways to advance, all for free.
But you've got to follow our instructions. The issue is, some people will be like, yeah, but you said we want to do that. That's stupid. I'm not doing that. Hmm. It's like, well, then leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, there are people right now who are running things who are trying to convince you that they're smarter, but they're not.
No,
they're just people. And so the issue
that is... And not very accomplished ones.
The issue is, we have the worst of the argument. Inept people,
yes,
demanding you do it or else, versus the apt who are giving you the freedom to choose.
Exactly. What we do have the worst of all possible worlds. We have incompetent, corrupt, and inexplicably full of self-regard. We have never had an elite that thought so much of itself for so little reason. I mean, if you ask, look at our institutions, our establishment. Really, in the last 20 years, what is your big achievement? What have you done that's good? And you won't get a real answer. Maybe like, oh, we've become more aware of BIPOC trans issues in the Asian American community. Okay, doesn't count. Not an achievement. Just a thing.
We're going to go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, smash that like button and subscribe to this channel. Share the show with your friends. Go to timcast.com for that members-only podcast, which will be coming up around 11 or so p.m. And let's read what y'all are talking about over in those Super Chats. All right, let's see. What is this? Rekra Morrison says, Tim, the word you've been looking for is dirigis me and dirigists. I don't know what that is.
Ah, the French.
He says, look it up. It's the economic system favored by fascists.
Well, the French have a system where they want to direct things. They want free enterprise with direction. And that's kind of the way that term's sometimes used.
All right. Robin P. says, my company just revoked my access privileges to the cafeteria for not being COVID vaccinated. I'm a healthy 26-year-old with a history of anaphylaxis. Our company is around 80% vaccinated. This madness is real. And so if you have a history of anaphylaxis, you will probably be advised to avoid this. But you got to talk to your doctor, obviously. Yeah. I'm familiar with this because I've had allergies in the past. And I just think, what's the end result? New York now has – get this. You are now allowed, nay required, in New York City to fire all of your employees with medical conditions that bar them from getting vaccinated. So I was thinking about this, right? If the majority of people who are not vaccinated in New York, or the largest demographic, not the majority, the largest demographic of unvaccinated are black people, a lot of businesses are now firing their black employees. Or they're going to be by September 13th.
They're firing their unvaccinated employees who happen to be black.
Which is disproportionately black.
That's not technically racist.
If you use some of the liberal equity arguments in which unequal impact or disparate impact is the same as establishing racism.
That's a good point.
Then you that then they've got a problem. And I think there a lot of lawyers do not want to jump into this fight for a couple reasons. Law isn't established, and you know, somebody who is, you know, a truck driver who isn't vaccinated, you're not going to get paid, and you've got to make your overhead. So if you know, hey, my company's going to fire me if I don't if I don't get a vaccine, lawyer, can you help me? And the lawyer's like, no, because I'm not going to make any money off it. You have no money, and there's no money at the end of the day. But something like that, I don't know. Maybe there, I mean, there's some to it. If you have a company that fires 8 black employees out of 12, you could have a serious problem. Not giving a legal opinion, just brainstorming here.
All right.
Seth Hilburn. Consult a lawyer in your own jurisdiction.
Seth Hilburn says, hi, Tim and the gang. Can we get a birthday wish for one of your youngest fans? Her name is Daisy, and she turns 8 years old today.
Aww.
Congratulations, Daisy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Daisy.
Happy birthday, Daisy. Frosty says, they don't want to risk their law firm by going against NY. This is not to say they don't agree with you. This is the death of free speech. If you're a medical discrimination lawyer in New York City, don't you go up against the city in lawsuits when the city discriminates? I guess they're scared.
It may not be a good case. I don't know. I don't know New York law. The New York law may support de Blasio.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it a good law. Wouldn't be one I'd vote for.
I'm not so sure. I mean, de Blasio did say that he's requiring the Human Rights Commission to review the order to make determinations. The problem is there's no specific medical exemptions at all, which means we're taking the interpretation of, okay, is an underlying condition considered a disability in this capacity? And is the fact that because of that you can't get a vaccine mean they're violating your disability, or are they just filing the vaccine mandate?
And I'm just talking generally, not your lawyer. ADA usually covers disabilities, which are conditions that impact a major life function. Is this a major life?
Hold on. They're not saying you can't, you know, they're not saying, oh, you're immunocompromised, you can't come in. They're saying you're not vaccinated, you can't come in.
That is true. And is that distinction important? I don't know. My guess is you're going to find ideological rulings on this.
Right.
Yep.
And that's a problem. I'll tell you, it's no secret that in a case that has any kind of ideological overtones, or even in regular business cases, when you get a judge, the first thing you do is figure out who the judge is. Who's this judge? Who appointed this judge?
If you've ever watched Law and Order, you'll know it when they're going into the court and they're like, we just been assigned Judge Smith. Huh. Don't worry, he's going to be good to us because it's in a lot of those episodes.
But that's absolutely true. You want to know who the ref is. I suppose Major League Baseball players go, oh, we got Jones as a ref. He doesn't call strikes. I don't know. Did I do the sports reference right?
Yeah, the umpire.
I'm not a good guy. Yeah. Okay. I'm not a sports guy. But you get the point. And I think a lot of judges will rule exactly as their ideology. A liberal judge will tend to support the government in doing whatever it thinks it needs to do, or that is, whatever it wants to do, regarding alleged COVID protections.
All right. Legama Thigayan says, my grandfather was clubbed in the head and left for dead in a pile of corpses in Europe. Now that there are literal camps in an Anglophone country, the word Nazi has been completely gutted of any meaning. The way forward won't be easy. Terrifying, infuriating, and unjust.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about these camps. I think a lot about the British. People, they give me crap about saying that, like, Canada and Australia are part of the British Commonwealth, and that the Queen has
they
no
are.
Power here. The Queen,
they have
obviously, the
Queen,
the Queen has no power here. We have lockdowns and camps now. Like, dude, monarchy is no joke.
But the Queen
own
didn't do
the
it.
Land. No, she didn't do it. Neither did Manson. You know
what?
Manson didn't kill those people.
What?
He had people do it for him.
What citation do you have where the Queen came out and said in any way that she wanted lockdowns in Australia?
No,
or
she's
Canada?
Just passively sitting there letting it happen. I don't know what kind
she
of.
Is
authority
she is 115 years old. So.
It's like it's very obvious.
Is she 115?
I don't know. She's old.
Yeah,
she's crusty. I mean, she's no Joe Biden.
That's right.
She's getting around. She's got her corgis. She's rocking her handbag. She's sharp as a knife. But man, you look at Joe Biden and that desiccated old freak. I mean, he's, did you see that speech? God.
You didn't like the speech?
I was embarrassed to the core of my being.
What didn't you like about it?
Everything from the moment he opened his mouth to the moment he shut his pie hole. Like, blaming everybody else for this. I'm taking full responsibility for these actions of the Afghans, Donald Trump, the insurrectionists, right-wing talk radio hosts, everybody but me. You know, you're the commander. Everything you do or don't do is on you. Everything you do or don't do is on you.
I think he said
you're the commander.
I think he said a few important things that were really good and important, that we can't send another generation of young men and women to fight in a country where they won't even fight for themselves.
That is not open to debate. That is no longer a subject of debate. We have decided that as a society. That is done. That thing, he's sitting there going, well, I'm going to, it's like the woman I found on Twitter who was complaining that white women were writing stories that involve black people. And I, of course, I look at her bio. She lists herself as an anti-rape activist, which I guess is fine. But who are the pro-rape activists that she's standing up against? Okay, not a courageous stand. It's the right stand. Yes, we should all be anti-rape, which is the point.
I think,
and the point is, everybody knows we need to pull out of Afghanistan. You don't have to do it in a way that's best described as the subject of Roe versus Wade.
Joe Biden screwed up the withdrawal, very obviously. You had Matt Zeller on MSNBC explaining exactly how they were desperately trying to give them strategy and help them understand.
Heartbreaking.
But it is good that the president came out and finally said what people have been saying.
Yes.
The executive branch was forced to acknowledge everything the anti-war people have been saying for a long time. I think that was a good thing.
Well, look.
I get it. He passed the buck.
Well, it's also the pro-war people. I mean, I would throw myself in the pro-war because I think that war is a legitimate tool of political action in the right circumstances. Definitely not this. But you know, this guy is so far beyond the discussion. The American people decided long ago that our sons and daughters are not worth dying for doing some unspecified thing in Afghanistan that only gets worse once you look at it closely. You know, hey, we're going to teach them to, respect the rights of women and blah, 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 and, you know, turn these tribesmen into, you know, nice Yankee Democrats. Yeah, I mean, that stuff's all obvious, and he's, like, taking the hard saying, yeah, I'm finally the one who said it. Everybody's been saying it, you crusty old freak. The fact is, he failed to ensure that this was not the disaster it is.
Yeah.
What could have been done?
We got to read more super chats. Kyle Miller says, Tim, can you bring Jack Posobiec and China Uncensored on at the same time to talk about China's interest in Taiwan? China smells blood after Afghanistan and is doing drills by the island. Didn't the Global Times put out a statement saying that they'll crush the 30,000 or whatever U.S. troops on the island or something like that?
Well, I don't. We have troops around the island. Look, if I was Xi, I would grab Taiwan tomorrow. I don't know why he doesn't. Strategically, I can't think of a reason. We are not in a position to fight him. Joe Biden is not in a position to lead a war to defend Taiwan. We have not prepared Taiwan. Taiwan has not prepared itself. I don't understand why Xi doesn't do it.
Could create global sentiment against China, the Russian, the American, the Indian governments.
Yeah, I don't care.
They're waiting, and they're going to do a bunch of stuff at once.
Oh, this is cool. Alexander Scarpecci says, I saw Fox News highlight your tweet you sent about the 311 phone call.
Huh.
Hey, I don't even live in New York. I called New York when I asked them about medical exemptions. They said no. They told me, well, maybe you can try calling the mayor's office. You can't call the mayor's office. It's a web form where you can send an email.
You can't call de Blasio?
No.
What if you're his dealer?
You
get his number.
Yeah,
but
I
assumed they'd have a media inquiry line or something. But I guess they know that people would be slamming the phone with like insults and stuff, so they don't do it.
Well, they are New Yorkers. I'd like to think that they're slamming them with insults. Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed in New Yorkers. I thought New Yorkers took a lot less guff.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to the tough guys of Goodfellas? You know, they're
good times, weak men.
Good times, sweet.
Dude, we're going to see bunch of speakeasy restaurants opening up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Wow. They were already doing it last year. A bunch of women got like a warehouse, and then they were serving like burgers and hot dogs or something.
Casino thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
fight
casino,
the power. And you know what? All of them will end up almost still vote Democrat.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it funny?
I know.
All right. Cornelius Buttknuckle says, speaking of requiring IDs being racist, unless you're a minor, don't you need an ID just to get the vaccine? Everyone I know who's gotten it has to show ID to get it.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Well, it's not something important like voting.
Right, yeah.
All right. CA2CA Outdoor says, "Hey Timcast, longtime fan and member. Thank you for encouraging my wife and I to start our own YouTube channel with our vlog to start building some culture of our own. Hiking, fly fishing, camping, road trips, and chasing the Northern Lights. Thanks again." Awesome. Oh, glad to hear it.
Cool.
CA2CA Outdoors.
See, now that's what we want to hear. Gosh, wait till that's unleashed again when you have somebody who understands that the real strength of our society is all Americans doing their own thing. And maybe your thing is, like, I want to be a garbage man. I want to get up off at 5, and I'm going to go home and play with my kids. Rock on, man. You're cool. Or maybe it's, I want to spend all day painting pictures, and I'm not George Bush. You're awesome.
All right. David Murdoch says, "Hey there, Drag the Dead, a third-person zombie shooter starring the fabulous Zane Dimash, infallible Uncle Hotep, and supermodel Adam Krigler is approaching completion. Get ready to clutch those pearls. Latest teaser at David Murdoch Art on Twitter. Viva la counterculture." Cool. Check it out, guys. All right. Jacob Gabrielson says, "I've played dystopian games of all kinds, and none of them are as eerie as the palatable portrayal of concentration camps." That's creepy stuff, man.
Real life overtaken stuff. That was one of the problems with my books, man. People would be like, "Kurt, you wrote this stuff, and I read it, and I laughed. Oh, my gosh. You know, presidents announcing their pronouns and stuff. That's crazy talk. It's all come true." I have to go more insane every book just to keep ahead of reality.
Jeez.
Weber J says, "The video of Afghans on the runway in Kabul and clinging to the wings. I didn't see desperate people. They looked to be celebrating, waving and smiling and trying to disable the plane. Duped by China." I don't know about that. I think they wanted to get on. And, you know, a lot of people, there were some people who made a point. They said these people were willing to climb on the side of a C-17 with no chance of survival, but they weren't willing to fight for their country.
I saw a lot of military-age males on those airplanes. I saw a lot of piles of unshot guns.
No organization. That's why.
But here's the thing. You can't organize these guys. They aren't a Western force. We decide we would go in and make a miniature example of the American Army with American combined arm operations. You know, here's our artillery, here's our vehicles, here's our logistics, here's our aircraft. We'll send you contractors to do all that hard stuff, because the hard stuff is not the light infantry. The guys running around with rifles, that's the comparatively easy, fun stuff. The hard stuff is figuring out how to get beans and bullets from here to here when they're needed. And we did all that for them. Then we pulled it out. So we built an army like the U.S. Army. The secret of the U.S. Army was always logistics. Yeah, we're good fighters. But when you're good fighters and you have endless stuff, you are unbeatable. Then we pulled that stuff out and left them. So we built the wrong kind of army. If we had just said, "Hey, you guys like bands of guys with guns? Here's some guns. Go be a band over here, and we'll pay you $500 to make sure no Taliban, $500 a week to make sure there's no Taliban in this 10-mile area. You get a bunch of your buddies and kill any Taliban that come in." Oh, okay, cool.
All right. Hostile Bogey and Bound says, "The Second Amendment doesn't mention hunting." That's right. It says the defense of a free state. And it also, a lot of people think it's specifically about defending from tyrannical government. It's not. It's defending from any enemy.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah.
Like, the idea was, if a foreign country was going to invade and everybody's armed, that's just never going to happen.
It makes it a lot harder.
Right. All right. Let's see. We got Tyrannical Jojo Jiden says, "Ian, the fascist."
I mean, I do live in the United States. I'm not proud of it.
You should be very proud.
I'm not proud of the fascist's takeover of the United States.
You don't have to be proud of that. But the country's the best on earth.
I know.
We just got to make it the best on earth again.
Yeah.
Hayden says, "I'm writing an article on natural/God-given rights. Healthcare and housing not included, and explained why. Tim's human level zero allegory hits it. Naked in the woods is zero. With a stick is level one. I'll send it when finished." Have you heard me mention that before?
I have not, but I am intrigued.
The way I explain it to people is that if you are in the middle of the woods and you're naked, you're officially at zero. You're not bad. You're not good. But you better start working to make sure you don't go negative.
Yes.
If you're naked in the woods and you've got an injury, now you're negative one. You're on the way down.
Yes.
If you're naked in the woods but you got a pointy stick, now you're one. You're moving up. So the idea is
you got plus one stick in D&D terms.
Yes.
That's right. And
I'm an elf.
You know, a one d6 damage in In America, when you're born into America, you're at 647,000.
Yes.
And these people are complaining as if they're negative three.
You know, I see these people and they, American elitists are the most parochial people on earth, Tim. You've been all over the world. And you've been to not nice places. I've been all over the world. I've been to a few not nice places myself. And we come back with this huge appreciation for the United States. And then we got these guys going, you conservatives don't even have passports. I've been to Berlin and Amsterdam and London and Paris. Oh, and Barcelona. Always Barcelona. Because all, you know, barren 58-year-old teachers go to Barcelona.
I went to...
And they just don't get it. And they think and hate America because they've never seen anything.
You ever go to Brazil?
I have never been to Brazil.
I was in Brazil several times. Awesome country, by the way. But they have favelas, which are the shanty towns. Okay. And I went to one, and I asked if they had a bathroom I can use. And they said yes, and they pointed to the bathroom. And the toilet was full of human waste piled up on itself over the toilet. And they explained, just go on top. I'll wait. You know, I'll just wait till we get back to the hotel. Like, and you know why? You can only flush when it rains. And you know where the toilet leads to?
River.
There is a gigantic concrete chute that goes straight down next to everyone's house, and there's PVC pipe sticking out the sides. And if you stand there, you see all just
under the dirt.
No. It's concrete.
The water.
Oh. It's like there's no water.
Oh, and then it rains and washes it
right off. Yep. And so it hadn't rained in a while. It was a drought, and so they were like, you know, the water catch. But they started building water lines to try. They were trying to reclaim. That's what they called it, pacify, and then reclaim the favelas to get them under the jurisdiction of the Brazilian government because they're actually under the jurisdiction of gangs. But so these people actually, their water system was a big barrel, a big water tub on their roof, and when it rained, they'd open it and then close it, and that's why they don't flush because you can't waste the water.
That's spectacular.
And the people in some of these places, they build houses on top of other houses. So they just build. They'll walk up, walk through your house, and start building on the other side to build a house. And people are just like, yeah, that's normal. It's a very, very different way of life. Now, people there are happy. You know, they have family, they have friends, they have TVs.
They have, like, distended stomachs from, like, worms and fecal infections.
Well, I don't know about in Brazil.
In Peru they did, in Iquitos. Yep. It was sad. Because they weren't, and they're also not taught. They don't know that eating poop water is bad for you. So they'll poop in the river, and then that's their drinking water, and they'll wash off with it. You get an immediate 5,000-point bonus if you have running water in your house.
Yeah, I think the running water is underappreciated by folks.
Yeah. Tyrannical Jojo Jiden
again
says Ian is 100% correct.
Oh.
Finally, rights are taken by force, not given by government. That's what 2A is, the method to retain your rights.
Okay.
Interesting way of looking at it. I think often we're saying similar things, that they're vulnerable and you need to protect them.
Yep.
I just want to remind people not to hide behind your rights, but to stand in front of them and protect them.
I love that. Yeah, it's good.
There's the takeaway for tonight, folks.
That's perfect.
All right. The plague doctor says, I work in healthcare and was forced to receive the vaccine. It put me into an arrhythmia. Most hospitals require this, so I don't really have the option of finding a new job. We are required to get the booster shot, no exceptions. I'm going to lose my career. Sad to hear it, man, because this is exactly what I'm complaining about.
Yep.
But everybody who heard that, I hope you understand what it means to speak up. And now I'll say why I'm not. I'm going to say in the short term, I'm pessimistic. In the long term, I'm optimistic. And the reason and it's not too dissimilar to what you were saying. Maybe someone will come along in a couple of years. I don't know if we can count on it, but we can hope for it.
Well, we can work for it.
I know a lot of people who are staying in New York right now. I know a lot of people who are like, well, I don't want to, but I guess I'll have to. No, you don't have to. The woods await, my friends. You can go walk and hitchhike and get away.
I'm staying in California because I want to fight. I'm working, working for the recall. Rick Grenell has identified 1.3 million conservative voters who need to be activated. I wasn't taught to retreat. That's not, we really don't, you don't have a block of instruction in that. So I'm willing to fight, and I think there's a place for that.
Daniel Welch says, Aussie, adding context. Hotels have issues with AC air gradients, and we have had lockdowns from people catching the virus on the last day of hotel quarantine and then spreading it. Optics still not good. Sorry, Daniel. That's called you being a frog in a pot as they turn the heat up to the point where you're like, oh, I understand why these camps are necessary. Oh, actually, it's just because they're doing this. No. There's no excuse for them building internment camps. Sorry.
Dude, catch the disease. No, I mean, catch the disease. Because you're probably not going to die. You'll get sick for a little while. I got sick for a week.
Yeah, but you don't want to spread it.
I don't spread it. Sit in your house and have the disease. And then you don't have to live in fear. Because this guy lives in fear. And he lives in such fear that he's willing to give up stuff.
He should talk to his doctor. His doctor's going to tell him not to get it. Because what if he gets long COVID?
May tell him not to get it.
Probably will say not to. Probably will say...
Probably say avoid it if you can.
That's right.
But look, I just a suggestion. Look, I'm not your doctor. Don't listen to my advice. Check out with your doctor. But you're living in fear, man. Maybe you ought to face it. I don't know.
All right.
I can just see media matters. Kurt Schlichter says, go get COVID.
You know it.
And he also likes the Taliban. Shut up, you idiots.
Marcus Casey says, I'm shocked to agree with Ian on the rights topic. With hundreds plus deities worshipped worldwide, his point is valid with the three wives example. If your stance is that rights are granted by a fairy tale god. Oh, well, there you go. Some people are jumping on.
There's always going to be an angry atheist. That's okay. It's called free speech. Exactly. I don't have to like what people say.
All right. Zachary Crossley says, Lunkers TV just dropped a video about Afghanistan. He's a combat vet and now has a massive YouTube channel. Would be awesome to have him on so everyone can hear his perspective on Afghanistan.
Oh.
We're having some people on, right?
We are tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk with some...
retired military, Army and Navy.
Who were both there, right?
Yep.
This will be fun.
I think, yeah, at least one.
On the ground. All right. Stellar Odyssey says, oh, come on, Tim. Our Metro-located hotel quarantine for international arrivals has been leaking COVID like a sieve, causing quick spread. The quarantine facility is isolated, so we'll address this issue. Let me correct what you've just said.
Ugh.
Your country mandated a quarantine for travelers. They mandated a hotel lockdown, and then you accepted it. Now they're moving the goalpost one step further by building camps. And you're like, oh, the camps are fine because the hotels were bad. Congratulations. They've convinced you to agree to building relocation facilities.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's a nice trick. Hey, I have an idea. Don't stick a bunch of potentially sick people together in one place where it can go and spread like wildfire and cause problems. Ask people to be responsible. If you go home and you start feeling sick, lock yourself in your room. Hey, me and my wife had it. We didn't infect our kids.
Yeah.
We stayed in our room, stayed away from them, washed our hands. I stopped coughing in people's face, which I like to do the time. I didn't even breathe on the dogs. Look, allow people to be responsible, but put everybody together in a giant petri dish and then act surprised when the entirely predictable response of putting people, result of putting people together in a petri dish happens? What?
Alina Bashong says, Ian doesn't know what natural law is. Start with Aquinas or C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
All right. Andrew Silverio says, Tim, you helped push me to realize that it was time to get out of cities. I lived in NYC my whole life, but now I see the writing on the wall. Florida.
Ooh. Good choice.
Florida's is pretty good. It's the weather.
You can handle the heat.
I love the humidity. DeSantisville.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hear a lot of talk about DeSantis. A lot of excitement out there.
Expendable Guard Entertainment says, Tim, I spent 6 years living in Africa, and I have seen what a lack of national identity does to a nation. Look at the 2007 election riots in Kenya. We'll check that out. Stuart Gray just says, just to send you a little money to keep your work, Tim. Hey, thanks for the super chats, guys. We appreciate all of you guys. Very much helps. Just Max Perk says, the Afghan army cannot fight without air support, intelligence, and consulting from the Americans. The Afghan army has suffered 50,000 casualties. They will fight, but they needed us. Yeah, I was reading, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, they said that Biden cut out air support. Yeah. So when they announced they were withdrawing, the Afghans were like, we can't stop, the security forces were like, actually stop the surge of 200,000 Taliban.
They made a little U.S. army. Look, let me pop quiz. Let's ask Ian, what's the primary killing system of American soldiers?
Jeez.
Is it the M4 rifle?
Probably, yeah.
No.
I don't know.
No, it's fires. Artillery, missiles, bombs. It is calling in fire on people. That is the primary killing system. Artillery is called queen of battle. Close-up rifle to rifle, that gives the enemy a chance. You don't want to do that if you can help it. We're very good at it.
The U.S. uses air superiority.
I also thought about economic starvation and siege warfare based on the economics.
Yeah, we don't do that too much. We're too nice.
So what I was reading is they said that the U.S. strategy and the strategy taught to the Afghan security forces was air support comes in, you know, creates openings, ground supports advance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But when Biden pulled air support, all of a sudden they were like, our main strategy is broken. What do we do? And people panicked and started running. And then as soon as one runs, the line breaks and everyone fled. Then you had one guy in a plane fly to Uzbekistan. I guess they shot him down.
Yep.
The crazy thing about it is I can't remember which person said this. They said we gave them an air force. The Taliban doesn't have an air force and they still failed. And you look at the Wall Street Journal. Well, Biden abandoned air support. We've talked to veterans in the past who have said something like, you can keep a small, small, small amount, like a couple dozen to maybe 100 special commandos or liaisons with air support or drone power, and we can get everybody out, and that's all you need. What did Joe Biden do? Cut off air support and said, we out.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you stop letting doing what you need to do to get the airplanes flying, you're not going to have the airplanes. They're not going to fight as you train them to. And it's just a lot. It's entirely predictable. This did not have to happen. Now, maybe they would have fallen eventually, or they would have come to some political arrangement. They were supposed to under the Trump deal. They're supposed to have a political arrangement. And maybe they would have made a different one if they had remained a viable army.
I haven't looked, but how many people have been killed in the last 4 days in Afghanistan?
Well,
I don't know.
So there were a lot of people saying we don't have the numbers yet. Someone super chatted, and I have confirmation saying there's a bit. So I don't want to say just yet until I can get confirmation, but it might be bad.
And it's mostly Afghan citizens?
Yep.
All the Americans got out and they just left everyone else behind?
No. There are still Americans on the ground.
There's like 10,000,
I think.
Yeah,
there's a bunch.
All right, my friends, smash that like button. Subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, and go to timcast.com, become a member. We built this website to have our own platform where we can post content free from censorship, and we will have a bonus segment coming up at about 11 or so p.m., so make sure you go there, you sign up, be a member. You also get access to all of our news articles with no ads. You can follow the show at TimCastIRL, basically everywhere. You can follow me personally at TimCast. Do you want to shout out anything, Kurt?
Go get my book, The Split. It is the latest in the Kelly Turnbull series of novels. People's Republic is the first one. I've sold six figures of these damn things.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I've sold a lot of them. And people love these things. And they're a lot of fun to write. There's laughs. There's gun porn. There's more shooting and shooting. And lots of shooting.
Huh.
Oh, there you go.
They're action packed. I mean, it's a real blast. And but there's a serious undercurrent to it. And there's six of them now. So far. So far, there'll be a seventh.
Soon. What's the genre? Poli-fi, meaning political fiction.
Thrillers. Political thrillers.
I like it.
It was number one on the Amazon political thrillers list.
And it's called The Split?
The Split is the latest one. The first one is People's Republic, and there's six of them now.
What is your Twitter handle also?
At Kurt Schlichter. And,
thanks for coming, bro.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. This has been a blast.
Right. Always good to see you. Yeah, follow me at Ian Crossland, by the way, too, if you'd like to.
And you guys may follow me at Sour Patch Kids as I continue to pursue my life goal of having more followers than Sour Patch Kids.
Make sure you go to timcast.com. In order to get our members only segments. And don't forget, we're also on Rumble. We post everything there as well. It's important to point that out. So thanks for hanging out, and we will see you all at timguest.com.
Bye, guys.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.